Blog Talk Radio.
From ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good Doc.
Yeah, it is the South. I'm a man. Not like some of us has been. Perfect.
Until she had no more.
touch me. She said it was I who just wanna touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole right now. She stood there crying, oh, 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 oh.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
You know, doing the engineering here, you appreciate the outstanding work of engineers when they do your shows and thing. And wow, you know, a lot of energy, a lot of work. Sports in Depth. Happy birthday, Pelé. Reyes. Giants Jets win. And we can talk some stuff with Jump Shot Joni. Looking for GW Mike to join us. Also, Little Pete. And I'll try to get Dusty, too, on this Sunday version. And Edgar Torino will probably join us also on Sports in Depth. At this point, yesterday, if the game had started, we'd have known that the Yankees are near deletion. They're near extinction as the Astros have jumped up to a 3-0 lead, looking for their second sweep in the playoffs and looking to be going to the World Series four times in the last 6 years. That ain't all cheating. Got to open up with a prayer, as we always do. I had a great one by, let me get one off of my, that's sent to me. So what we're going to do, we're going to play a little bit of Fast Lord Jesus, and we'll say a prayer. Jump Shot's with us. Pardon me, yes. Music for my prayers. I get sent so many. So, yeah, it'd be good to use one of them. So, we can be filled with beautiful thoughts, funny people, and wonderful memories. God is still in the blessing business. Did you receive yours? Let me say some nice prayers. Let me find one of them here. Quotes too. Sometimes in life, our blessings come early. Sometimes they come later. But they always come, and they're always on time. Keep praying. Ask, believe, wait. Miracles do happen. And a great thing from Evan Mendoza. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not be turned away by different strange teachings, because it is good for your hearts to be made strong by grace. No profit of those who took trouble over them. Okay. Heavenly Father, we realize that we are tested by the disappointments of life as well as disappointments by others. Help us to realize you are faithful, everlasting Father, everlasting Father. Never fail or forsake us. Even when we have been let down in circumstances, let us see that it was all part of your plan to open our eyes and make us better and stronger individuals. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen. As remember, to keep each other in prayer. Enjoy your day, your night, your evening. Everything is going to be all right. It's remarkable, you know. If you are happy that God gave you another day, this is sending me a lot of good prayers, too. It's remarkable how people, you know, come out of church Sunday, that's like, you know, that's it. Charged up and then like, you know, just Sunday's a day, and worry about the rest of the week, don't worry about it. Trust in God 100%. Start your day with prayer. End your day with prayer. Prayer becomes your habit. Prayers become your lifestyle. What Sister Helen sends every day, you know. Mother passed, and she came up. Mother, first thing I saw in the morning, she's on her knees. Mother taught us that, you know, through the grace of God. On her knees. Get up and... First thing we got out of bed was on our knees. You know. And God is still in the blessing business. And thank God he's blessing us with another day. Like I said, background music. That's Lord Jesus. And mother learned that song in Catholic school. It's amazing. You know, she went to Catholic school, Pentecostal church, and eventually, you know, one of the great Baptist churches. Let's close out now. Father, thank you for another day. Don't let this day might bring, therefore. I don't know what this day may bring, therefore. I put my trust in you. Fill me with your grace, with your peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding. Cover me with your presence. Cover me in your mind. Give me fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Cause me to rest and not be stressed. Let rivers of joy and happiness fill me every moment of this day, evening and night. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Doc Stanley, watching the Blog Talk Radio.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
And with that, we bring in Jeff Shot Jonesy, and that shout-out that he sends out. Be a jump shot, you know, from the top of the key, outside of the gym. Always right. It was Curry. Your jump shot, and jump shot. Did you send the shout out? Can you read the shout out that you sent for us for the show? Or should I look at my messages and get it? Let me see. Okay, I'm trying to get Peter from Brazil to call me. Hold on, gang. Okay, I want you to call me, Peter. I call you. I want to speak with you a couple of minutes or two as we celebrate here from New York the birthday of Edson. Well, everybody doesn't call him Edson, though, but you know him. And I think Arantes do Nascimento. If you got a minute or two, like you come in and read that fine piece that you gave him and you wrote about him, as we want to remember the greatest football player of all time, bar none, the Ali of his kind, Pelé. So if you got a minute or two, you know, just call me in, and I'd like to talk to you here on the show tonight. Nobody would be more equipped than you, as you both, like myself, and better, but you're one of the great agents for the world of football and some of the great players of all time. So I sent that out to him, try to get Jesse. Come on, Jeff, talk to me, baby. What's happening? What was? Let me see if I said that shout-out. Did you sent the shout-out. Did you send it to me, too, Jump Shot?
For the show?
Yeah, the promo.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so I'll read it. Well, what's happening? What's the update on the baseball game, Jump Shot?
They just had to take Nestor Cortez out of the game due to an injury. He was pitching well, all-star, and, you know, not a good sign for the Yanks, unfortunately. As a matter of fact, I just turned back to the game. So Cortez not only was not able to sustain himself because of injury, the Astros, when he left, there was a couple of runners on. And I see an update now is we're now in the top of the third inning, and the Yankees 3-0 lead is now a 4-3 deficit in favor of the Houston Astros.
Wow, the Astros are up 3-0. I mean, Astros were down 3-0. Now, I said something yesterday, Jump Shot, and hold on. Join us now for the current edition of Sports at Depth, Blog Talk Radio, Sports Talk with the legendary Melvin Doc Stanley and panel. And the dialing number is 646-200-0373, 646-200-0373. And we started 9:30, and legendary, yeah, you guys, man. My legendary panel, Jumpshot Jonesy, the Hoopster, Lady A, trying to get Dusty. You know, this is the thing, I think, that's, if the Yankees don't win this game, is the, you know, the final knife, you know, to get a 3-0 lead, to have Torres pitching so well. And I think he didn't get a lot of credit during the course of the season for being the kind of pitcher that he's done, what they talked about. Everybody else, I was still living over Severino getting taken out throwing a no-hitter. But, you know, I said this yesterday, Jump Shot, and we talked about it a little bit. You know, the Astros haven't begun to hit yet. You know, yesterday was the first hit that Altuve, one of the great second basemen in baseball, finally got. He was 0 for 25, just missing joining Robinson Cano, who was 0 for 29. Before he got his first hit. So I'm saying, man, he just got his hit. He does. There was a great play today, game before in Houston, that took away a great hit from him. But, no, they haven't really hit. We haven't heard a lot from Alvarez. Okay, Beckman got the big home run. The rookie shortstop, a big home run. You know, Tucker, Alvarez, and Altuve haven't really exploded, which I said, well, you know what? Well, I guess they're just waiting for the World Series. I think, Jump Shot, that it's not so much a foregone conclusion, but as it's going to be. I mean, the Yankees are not going to win four straight against these guys, but it seems like beyond that, what you're telling me now, they're not going to win one game. But, you know, we'll keep us updated. It's 4-3 Astros.
You know what's crazy about that, what you just said? Is that, first of all, they haven't lost a game yet. The Astros,
yeah.
they swept. Mm-hmm. Well, they were the number one seed. They swept the Mariners.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the verge. They win today. They'll sweep the Yankees. And in this series, with Reginald Martinez Jackson as one of their guides and advisors now, and one of his proteges actually wears his number. Well, it's not his number, but he wore 44. But he wore 44 because he was
Hank
an
Aaron.
Advocate of Hank Aaron.
Right.
Jordan Alvarez is 1 for 10. Jose Altuve is 1 for 12. And Kyle Tucker is 1 for 10. These are their big boppers. I'll say that again. Alvarez, 1 for 10. Altuve, 1 for 12, and Tucker, 1 for 10.
Altuve yesterday got his first hit, so he went in yesterday at 0 for 24, so he's 1 for 25 now. You know,
the three big boppers are 3 for 22,
and they swept Seattle. You know, somebody made the comment. Dr. Kennedy spoke to the Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and God Network. The legendary Jim Shot Jonesy, always with the kind words of praise. And that, you know, I put this show together, and there was a chill and a glow and a warmth that went through my body with the adulation and love I have this. And, you know, just coming on a Sunday night, you know, where we would all get together, the late Mel Smith Jr. now gone. Wings has disappeared us. Jump Shot, you here. Maybe the Hoopster can catch him along the line to get him to join us. But you know, I say this, and it's, you know, it's fact. You know, I thought y'all were the best, you know, the very best. But as time goes on, you're the absolute best. Intellect, the class, the character that you bring. You know, and you know, nobody's, we're on the same page, but we get to four differently. Some it's 2 and 2. Some, you know. And, you know, like you talk about the greatest way of all and so many things. But and this is what I said yesterday, Jeff. I said, wait a minute, man, these guys ain't hitting. And, you know, but they're getting the big hits. Yesterday, the home run by McCormick, Alvarez in the first game against Seattle, and that was the end of them when they had this 2-run lead and they pitched to Alvarez and he got that walk-off home run. And, you know, then they turned around, and I think it showed the greatness of the team and of Dusty Baker as a manager, that they turn around and beat Seattle in Seattle in 18 innings. You know, that was two games. So for all intents and purposes, jump shot, they swept them in four games in a five game series. You know, they got the run when they needed it. They got the plays when they needed it. So for all intents and purposes, they won four. They've won seven straight games now. I mean, the game totals show six, but the inning totals show right now they've won seven straight games. And they haven't started hitting, but people have overlooked their pitching. McCollum's was out for a while. Verlander, who's going to be the Cy Young Award winner, he was out for a while. And Dusty did some things that people questioned a couple of games ago, but Dusty enhanced an already great bullpen, you know, by getting some minutes with some guys. And I mean, look, listen, I know Jump Shot Jones is going to give me 24 points a game. I know Doc has got me 23, but you know what? I'm going to play Rooney. You know, I'm going to play Wings. And, wow, dang, man, Rooney's getting me 14 off the bench, and I got Wings getting me another 15 off the bench. You know, now I know if Doc gets in foul trouble, if Jump Shot gets in foul trouble, or if they get hurt, I got these guys. I mean, you know, Dusty Baker's unquestionably the manager of the year. But like I said, Jump Shot, and the point you're bringing is that these guys are not hitting, but they're winning. And Jump Shot, I think that's the bottom line.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, they have a formula and a focus for winning, period. It doesn't make a difference who's not batting at this particular time. This team is on a mission. They're focused. Their pitching is in order. Their bullpen is tight. And, you know, they're on it. No lead. It doesn't make a difference what the other team does in terms of getting ahead. They get ahead. Even tonight, you think they a 3-0 lead playing in Yankee Stadium, the hallowed Yankee Stadium, was any type of intimidation factor for this Astro team? Not at all. They came up. They came back. They're now leading 4-3. Just to switch gears for a quick minute, Damian Lillard was found tonight. He dropped 41 points on the Lakers. The Lakers are 0-3. LeBron had 31, 8-8. Anthony Davis had 22-10. Russell Westbrook still continuing his shooting role. The backcourt of Russell Westbrook and Patrick Beverley has not shot well. Tonight, Beverley was 1-3. Westbrook was 4-15. They lost by only 2 points, but the Lakers are 0-3.
Okay, hold on, Jump Shot, and get back to Peter McNeil, the mayor. Peter, we're going to be on at least another hour. Wouldn't need a lot of your time, but, you know how it is. Maybe you've got the dinner or you're doing some other festivities. Had tried to get you a little earlier, but as I put the show together and I just thought you'd be a tremendous part of it, you know, if you just gave us a minute or two, that'd be a whole lot more, you know. A minute or two with you is more than a whole day with others. But if you can, right now, your time should be about 10 o'clock. So we'll definitely be on, your time is going to be 10. No, our time is 10. So your time right now is going to be 11. So I would say we'll definitely be here till 11:30 near midnight. Okay? But I just wish you could get on for a minute. Take care of yourself, man. Trust in God. And we're going to, if anything else, we'll read Peter's great piece on Pelé, and it was sent in to by his dear friend Marcus. Okay, thanks, Pete. I'm trying to get Dusty to join us, but he's with a lot of record. Okay, Jim Sack, you know, and you'll give us the update on that. And now what's happening with the football games, Jim Sack?
Yeah, we're at the half now. With the Sunday night game between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Miami Dolphins. Tua is back in the lineup. He came back. This is his first game back out of the concussion protocol. Looks pretty good there. Competitive game right now where the Dolphins are leading at the half 16-10.
Dolphins?
Dolphins are leading at the half 16-10. Good day for New York football once again. This is about the third weekend, or maybe the fourth weekend, where both the Jets and the Giants were victorious. same.
Yeah, I know we had that one weekend where the Jets, Giants, Mets, and Yankees were victorious. We don't have to worry about that. You know, I look at that Mets series. Dr. Tony Sports at the Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Government Network. I look at that Mets series, and I've always said managers lose games, they don't win them. And in this case, the manager didn't lose the game. The Mets got swept by Chicago, a team they should have beat, at least won one game. And then they go into Atlanta tied with two of the best pitchers in baseball. That's why I got a picture of Sandy Koufax and Bob Gibson, two of the greatest pitchers ever, at prime time. Prime time pitchers against the best players. And this is what I argued with Dusty and you guys sometimes, is that, you know, there was an era where the very best played each other. But they go into Atlanta with Scherzer and DeGrom. DeGrom gets beat again, you know, because had he won one or two games before that, they wouldn't have lost the lead. But anyway, he loses again. So now the one-game lead is lost. But here's Scherzer now, if I'm missing anything wrong. If he can come back and win, then you're even again. Okay? So you would have left. You lost the one-game lead. You get the one-game lead back. And if you lose the next day, you're even. Now you come home and you win your three games, which they did win. I mean, you would win by the tiebreaker. But then what happened? Scherzer loses again, and then DeGrom's not even there. And, you know, we can't fault them for getting hurt. But that's one of the few times that I can say that the manager didn't lose the game, because who else would he have put in there? And Buck Showalter is unquestionably the manager of the year in the National League because his team wasn't even supposed to get to the playoffs or win 100 games, which they did. So, you know, the burden – and you know, DeGrom's hurt. But, you know, you look at the questions that went, can we give Judge, you know, a 10-year contract because he's 31 years old, but you didn't have any problem giving the big money to a 38-year-old pitcher. And to some degree, you know, he should be able to justify the money because you're only looking for 5 or 6 innings from him, all right? So that's the first time that I can say, hey, you know what? The manager didn't lose it. The players did. And as far as was the pitching, which was supposed to be, you know, the big factor, you know, good pitching stops good hitting. Oh, yeah? Well, good hitting can stop good pitching, too. You know what I mean? If you got the right hitters. So, that's my thought on that. That's my thought on that. We, real quickly, I was hoping maybe I'll try to get Dusty with us. Hope Peter can join us because I'd very much like to talk to him. But if not, we'll read what he said about Pelé. Today is Pelé, and the greatest football player in the real football world. And Edson Arantes do Nascimento, EDSON. His father named him after Thomas Edison because his city of Three Hearts were one of the first cities to get electricity. And the father was so taken back and, you know, moved by his father, who was a tremendous football player himself, that he named his son Edson. Pelé got the nickname in school, one he didn't originally first like, you know. And he's one of the few athletes, you know, jump shot, that if you say Pelé, you know what they're talking about. You say Ali, you know what they're talking about. And I tell you, his universal appeal was I think I'll go back to the moment where they had some jerseys they had. I could wish I had took it instead. And, you know, there's a guy without question in the Amazon of Brazil, as well as someplace in Germany or France, someplace in a hut in Africa, knows who Pelé is. And the same thing with Ali. Now, I don't know if there's people in a hut in Africa that know about Jordan. I know in Germany and France. But at the same time, the acknowledgement of him is due to a communicative system that was far reclusive and nowhere near what it is now. And you look at Ali Frazier 1, to have the audience they had, where it was just simply journalism, word of mouth, you know, it just shows you the greatness of all those guys, too. I mean, you got Joe in there and, you know, Willie Mays and stuff like that. But yeah, happy birthday, Pelé. Believe him correct, he's 81 years old, youngest man to ever win a World Cup. The only man to win 3 World Cups, almost won 4 World Cups, but he was injured in 1 World Cup, where actually he was assassinated physically by opposing teams. And after his 3rd World Cup, he said he wouldn't play again. Yeah, they won 2 years, were gone for 3 years. And it just shows the racial mix of society. The judges, the referees didn't take care of them. Other teams attacked them. And, you know, a lot of times, like in basketball jump shot, you know, if they're going to hurt jump shot, then we got our force out there to make sure, hey, now you ain't touching jump shot. You know what I mean? The Rick Horns, Craig Rambis's, Charles Oakley, and some way his own self-enforcer, Charles Barkley. You know what I mean? So, but that's that. Doc Sandy's posting the Blog Talk Radio Trust and Government Network. Jets win. And the defense, again, had a shutout quarter. Giants win again. Both teams jump shot winning the game as the underdog. You know, underdogs. And, hey, they're winning football games, jump shot.
Absolutely. And who could say in Green Bay, Wisconsin, with the legendary future Hall of Fame quarterback Aaron Rodgers, who, whether it was in London, England, or in Green Bay, Wisconsin, he lost to both the Jets and the Giants this season. The Giants in London and the Jets at Lambeau Field.
Yeah, and you know what I say about the Giants, you know, you're talking about winning an away game. That damn sure wasn't an away game.
How about that?
A game, that, you know, that had to come from behind to win. You know, they if the Giants get to 500, their coach is the coach of the year.
The Giants are now 5-1, 6-1. The Giants are 6-1. The
6-1. The Jets are 5-2.
The Eastern Division, the NFC East, which was predicted to be the NFC least, has an undefeated team, a 5-1 team, and a 5-2 team.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles are undefeated. The Giants are now 6-1, I'm sorry, because they won today. And Dallas won. Dak Prescott returned. They beat the Lions today. They're 5-2. And the Commanders won. How about that?
Yeah, who
the Commanders won. They beat the Green Bay Packers. And Aaron Rodgers.
You know what? It's getting to be that, after a while, people are going to say, well, you know what? It's they're gonna turn around. If they keep losing like this, they're going to say, well, you know what? They didn't really beat an elite team. they beat a team worse than them.
The team that was in the NFC Championship game the last couple of years. Well, actually, they weren't in there last year because they lost in the division series to San Francisco. But the year before that, and the big controversy with Aaron Rodgers, whether he was going to stay or whether he was going to finish his career in Green Bay. So they made sure they overpaid him, or they paid him to keep him here so he could finish his career in Green Bay. But right now, the Packers are 2-4. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, with another future Hall of Fame quarterback, are also 2-4. As we go into next week.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't get any easier for the Buccaneers, because Thursday night, they got to face the juggernaut in Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, but you know, they're not proven to be the juggernaut. They're losing games that they were winning. And, you know, it's like the old days when they switched from 15 fights to 12-round fights. If it was a 12-round fight, they would have won. I think if Edgar can join us, there was a time that they were, after the first two or three wins, they had only trailed the football games by 30 seconds. You know, that was the last seconds of the game. They lost to Buffalo. I mean, they're losing close games, but close games they were winning. So it's, you know, Lamar Jackson at the first two or three games was running away with the MVP award and running away with the record book. You know, looking at 3 touchdowns a game, 100 yards a game. Is that game at Baltimore or at Tampa Bay?
I believe that game is in Tampa Bay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to see, is my volume, do I have my volume here louder for you? I thought
How am I coming in?
Yeah. Say something again.
How am I coming in?
Oh, yeah, you're louder now. Yeah, great. Okay. Dr. Kennedy Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, Trust in God Network, Jump Shot Jonesy, gave an update on the football score. Man, get a hold of Nas. And what's the update now on that Yankee game?
I was at the Steelers game, which was still 16-10. Let's see what the Yanks are doing. The Yankees were losing 4-3 still. The Suns and the Clippers are getting ready to start the second game in L.A., and it is still 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
Houston over New York. It is the top of the fourth inning, so there's still time left in the game. And Jose Altuve is at bat.
And the score is what now?
4-3, Houston.
Okay.
Now, the one thing they gave, Altuve just made an out. Next year, they will not be allowed to have three infielders playing on the same side. Major League Baseball has part of their rule changes. You have to maintain two infielders on each side of second base.
There's two things I have there. You know, if you want to do that shift, okay. My simple thing, if I'm Doc Stanley, and they've got everybody on the left hand side of the infield, yeah. Okay, so I got to learn to hit the ball to the right side. Very simple. You know, you're pitching me away anyway, because you're not going to pitch me inside. It'd be crazy. That's the crazy thing too. Why are you pitching me away? You know, you got everybody on the left side. You got the third baseman on the bag. You got the shortstop in the hole. You got the second baseman where the shortstop is. You got the first baseman on first base. I saw one shift where they had all four guys on the right side. Shortstop, I mean, my thing with this ruling, you know, why didn't you come up with it for this season? Like, I'm looking at how long it took baseball to finally have the DH in both leagues, which made me even more not understanding why, you're pulling a guy out of a game who's throwing a no-hitter when he's not going to come up to hit anyway. That used to be out cue with that jump shot. I know he's pitching well, man, but damn, you know, we still ain't got a run here for him. He's up second this inning. The first guy just walked. Well, okay, there's two things here. In the old days, excuse me, he would bunt the guy, get the guy to second base, and usually 9 times out of 10, outside of your leadoff man, he was the best bunter on the team, or the second guy. So he was one of the three best bunters on the team. So why not let him come up, bunt the guy, and the guy now is at second base. But in today's game, I'm just kind of totally befuddled of why you're taking out a pitcher, throwing a no-hitter, or pitching an outstanding game. You know a Syndergaard, you know, who's giving up one hit and no runs in three innings, and you're pulling him out the game? Yeah. It didn't hurt the Phillies as they won that series, and now they're in the World Series, but it's just Bruce Bochy. I talked to Dusty about it. He said, he's a good guy and everything, and I agree with Dusty. He's a good guy and everything, but he's a white guy. You know what I mean? You know, they're not – Willie Randolph doesn't get a second chance. We don't give Chris Chambers a chance. Hal McCray doesn't get a second chance. What about Ken Griffey Sr.? We talk about Junior. What about Ken Griffey Sr.? You know what I mean? What about Randall, who took the Rangers, the team that Brochy is now coaching? He took him to the World Series back-to-back. You know, so while baseball kept him at a third base coach, what about a replacement? What about, you know, how many times did Billy Martin come back to the Yankees? How many times did Billy Martin get fired and come back to the Yankees? So we couldn't have done that with Randall? But as Don King says, only in America. And as you often said, jump shots, often things change, they remain the same. Doc Stanley, Sports Internet, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I mentioned, you know, we dedicate this show and say happy birthday, Feliz Aniversario, in his language, my good buddy and the greatest football player ever, the real football, Edson Arantes do Nascimento, better known as Pelé. God bless you, the king, Arias, y Teodoro Sempre. Love you forever, my friend. And so his birthday, he's 81, I believe, today, 81 years old. Last time I saw him, you know, he looked over at me, he walked up, shook my hand, met him a couple occasions. Really should have given him a couple of articles I had. I think it's going to be late to do that. But happy birthday to Pelé, and we, I'm trying to see if any other things came out. I thought Danny Allstrike Styles was going to join us, so we'll be looking for him. I'll try to get Dusty to join us, too. And at this time, I think it's a good time for us to sing happy birthday to him. I have some other birthdays this month. We'll play this and sing happy birthday. Greatest football player of all time. Pelé was the best when the game was at its best. He was the very best of Brazilian players when they were the best. He won four cups. Almost four in a row. Double this. I did things that hadn't been attention. Take you too, because he was. And the World Cup that he played in, doing so, Mexico proved to be a great area. The Brazilians and Mexicans bonded and started a bonfire. There's a city in the street in São Paulo named after Mexico and Mexican street because of the affection, the adulation, and respect, love they had for each other, you know. And I remember the coach wasn't going to put play on the team. Wasn't going to put him on the team. Then he made a comment when it was being said by one of the politicians and the team. Happy birthday to you. Some things that the politicians said, and the coach of the team said, hey, you know, let them run the politics. I run the team. And they said, well, let's show you how powerful politics is. Since you run the team, guess what? You ain't running the team no more. And, yeah, they fired him. And they brought in one of the players who used to play with Pelé. And, you know, the rest of his history. Three World Cups. He was instrumental in the goals that were scored by his teammates. And the rest of his history. Okay, I think we got Peter coming in from Brazil, so let's get him. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the mayor, I call him sometimes Lord Peter. He's the man, the legendary Peter McLean, who has done so much for not only his country, our beloved city, and the world. One of the great managers. You know, he touched me jump shot one time. We were talking, and I entered in a conversation. I told him, you know, Ali's saying of service to others is rich you pay for your room here on earth. And Peter, in a negotiation situation, happened to mention that. And he told me later it was instrumental in him acquiring the position that he was tapped for at a young age. But, Peter, we just, you know, we keep you glad to have you here. Jump shot, the legendary Lord Peter McLean from so Peter, you know, today we talk about Pelé, the king of football. I think unequivocally, and I've said this redundantly, you know, he's the greatest player because he played when the game was at its best. He played when the Brazilians were the very best. He was the very best of the Brazilians at a time with fundamentals and it was at his best. You know, I think the game, it's evolved. And there's Messi and there's Neymar and there's Ronaldo, Ronaldinho. And Brazil's had a long history of great players, Ronaldinho, Ronaldo. But yeah, unequivocally, and the best of all time, Pelé.
Yes, well, football sport is full of opinions of different eras. It's difficult to compare people across the ages. But I guess maybe somebody of my age, I'm 58, and I was fortunate enough to watch Pelé in the 1970 as a young kid and was massively inspired when Brazil won the World Cup in Mexico. And it was an amazing team, a great team. So Pelé has the unique achievement as a player of winning three FIFA World Cups. An amazing achievement. His first was back in 1958 in Sweden, where as a 17-year-old boy, initially he wasn't meant to go to the tournament because the manager was worried about him being too young. And then he scored two goals, I think, in the semi-final against France. Against France, and then two goals in the final against the host, against Sweden. And his career is absolutely amazing. But for me, one of the things that I think is overlooked with him is just his global social influence. As a young guy growing up in Scotland, my friends and I, we went out in the street and played football, played soccer in the street. And every time we scored a goal, we'd scream out, Pelé. You know, we all wanted to be Pelé. So this was a time all around the world, kids of all colours, of all backgrounds, of all faiths, of none, all wanted to be a black man. They all wanted to be Pelé. And, you know, nobody saw his colour of his skin. Nobody even realised that he was, that his ancestry, his herancia, as they say here in Brazil, was from Africa, where his ancestors had been taken and put into slavery, along with every other black Brazilian's history, and every American's history too. And he was undeniably the greatest footballer of his time, and I believe of all time. But his social influence was incredible. I mean, there's a great story. He went to Africa to play in a friendly match in Africa, and Biafra were at war at the time with Nigeria, and both sides agreed to postpone the war so that both sides could go and watch Pelé play in the stadium. I mean, that was his influence. Not just that, but friends of mine in Africa say to me that how inspiring it was for them at a time, especially in South Africa with apartheid and so on, to go and see a black man at the very top of the most popular sport in the world, undeniably the best player. They felt inspired, motivated, and believed they could be anything they wanted to be in life. And I think that's his greatest legacy. Yep. Of course, you know, people might forget the goals, they might forget the cups, but the social influence he had. I mean, Muhammad Ali is, of course,
there you go,
the greatest. Yes. and had a massive influence and was able to articulate that in a way that perhaps nobody ever has. But Pelé, just from sheer influence of his majesty as a player and how people adored him, I think changed the minds of men and women around the world and inspired so many people.
I think, you know, when you talk about Dr. Sally Sports, and Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and God Network, I call him the mayor, actually Lord Peter McLean from Scotland. You know, when you start talking about Pelé, and jumps out, you can hear, you're talking about Ali. You're talking about guys of African descent. You're talking about guys who raised the levels. And I've said this, Peter, you know, you say Pelé, and people know who you're talking about. And it, like you said, there's a hut in Africa. They know that name. And there's a guy someplace in a city in Chicago that knows that name. Him and I are the only two guys that you could say that. And at a time, Peter, where communication didn't have the grandeur, the spectrum, or the global reach that it has today, and yet everybody knows. I remember that the first time I met him, they had a press conference at the 21 Club. The 21 Club is the most exclusive club in New York City. And I remember getting there, and photographers were fighting for the space. I said, man, this guy's like Ali. And me and you have been blessed by God to meet him and spend some time with him. But I think, and Shep Messing, the goalie for Cosmos, talked about taking a picture with both of these. And here I was sitting with the two greatest athletes, I think unequivocally, of the 20th century. Jordan is not nobody's in that class. Ali and Pelé. But now, what was the circumstances surrounding him almost not being put on that first team? Because I know that there was some problems. He got injured in the third World Cup doing some shenanigans, some racism, some kind of fit of bullshit that he gotten hurt, they might have won then. But he had talked about the possibility of not playing
in the other World Cup, and then the coach had some reluctance about putting him on the team, and then the coach talked about after some interjection and some words were sent to him by some politicians, and he made the comment, well, you know, they handle politics, I handle the team, but politics, he got fired. So there was one, Peter, what was the situation that he almost didn't get on the first team, and what was all the situation, too, of him not almost being picked for the fourth team that he was on?
Well, when the sports world of the past, there's many, many different tales, much speculation as to what went on. I think in 1958, he was very, very young. I mean, an incredible achievement. You know, it's interesting. The teams in Brazil, up into the 70s, in fact, into the 80s, the managers were usually army colonels that had not played football. You know, there was a time of dictatorship in Brazil, and the government picked army majors and colonels to go and pick the soccer teams, which actually makes the results even more amazing. But they had a psychologist analyze and speak to the players. I mean, this must have been a very early thing to happen in professional sport, but that was back in 1958. And this psychologist, this respected psychologist, said that Pelé at 17 was not mentally ready to play at that level and he shouldn't play. The manager decided to take him anyway, played him, and he ended up to be the most influential player at the World Cup and scored the two goals in the final and lifted the cup at 17 years of age. I mean, it's remarkable. You know, nobody's ever achieved that. It's never been repeated since. To win the cup three times, you know, we make comparisons. It's a great saying in sport, isn't it? You can only beat the guys in front of you. You know, you can't jump back and forward in different areas and see how you would get on. But a couple of points I would make is, you know, soccer in those days, football was very, very much more violent game than it is now. You know, there was a thing called the tackle from the back in those days, which was pretty savage. You know, somebody could come and just kick right through the back of your legs and stay on the pitch, which now, of course, you get sent off for doing that. But also, one thing for people who like their soccer information going back a long way, in 1961 and 2 and 3, Benfica qualified for the European Cup final, the top tournament in Europe. They won it in 61, in 62, and I think it was Barcelona, maybe Real Madrid or somebody like that. I can't quite remember. And then they lost the third game. But during that period when they were the best team in Europe, in 1962, won the European Cup 2 years in a row, which is now called the European Champions League, they played Santos Pelé's team home and away. And Pelé absolutely devastated Benfica. I think in the game in Lisbon, which was the second game, Benfica's home game, I think they won 4-1, if I remember rightly. Pelé scored maybe a hat-trick in that game, but he was man of the match. And Benfica had the great Eusebio, you know, who was one of the great players in history as well, playing in that game. But absolutely nobody got anywhere near Pelé. I think it was a real shock to the people in Europe who considered that to be the height of the sport. And here was a Brazilian team coming that absolutely destroyed them. And Pelé was the main reason for that. He was such a different level from all the other players.
Yeah, I remember the players saying, you know, in his youth, and when he got older, they said, you know, we knew where we had him. We could go a long way. And in the last championship they won, too, they talked about, you know, because – from what I hear, Doc Stanley Sports and the Blog Talk Radio Trust and Guard Network, Jump Shop Jones is here. The Yankees are trying to survive. The Jets and the Giants did survive today. And Spinks and Crawford has been called off. And Lomachenko, a Ukrainian fighter, will be fighting next week in the Garden. But here we have live from my beloved city, Fortaleza, from Scotland, one of the great, great agents in the world of real football. I call him the mayor of Fortaleza, actually he's the governor, and I call him, his email is Peter Per Excellence. And as a human being, as an agent, as a friend, as a man who does so much for many other people. And, you know, he's reluctant, humble. You know, I call him Lord Peter McLean. And, you know, once again, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, in Sports and Death, you learn things you never hear before, you never learned before. And it just validates what I say, that, you know, the people come on here and my crew, you know, I at one time really thought they were the very best, but they are, without question, the best. This, wow, Peter, this education that you're giving us, and now you've helped us with the first one, and that's remarkable. That's like a science teacher picking the Olympic baseball team. I mean, that's just crazy. But now there was talk, Peter, of Doc Stanley Sports and Blog Talk Radio, Trust God Red, Felice Adversario for Pelé, and Edson was his first name. His father named him after Thomas Edison, because his city traced three hearts, were one of the first teams in Brazil to get electricity. Now, what was the situation, Peter, surrounding the last World Cup he went to? I believe there was some talk about that the coach wasn't going to put him on the team, and Jump Shot just laughed at it, and I heard that, you know, some of the dictatorships, hey, you know, we want him on the team, and he made the comment, you know, I run the team, I coach the team, let them handle politics. And they say, well, you know, we'll show you how politics work. They fight them. Well, what were the circumstances surrounding? And Pelé, after being hurt and beat up in the third World Cup, I believe, Peter, had talked about not playing. He changed his mind, but there was this coach who said he wasn't going to. Give us the inside scoop on that, please.
Yeah, well, there's lots of speculation around that time in World Cups and things in Brazil, where a lot of very crazy things went on. The dictatorship was powerful at that point, and under the dictatorship, a lot of very strange and very very terrible things happened, and often that stretched into all areas of life, football, sport. All areas of society. So there's a lot of speculation, but I'm not sure how much of it was true. But what is true, of course, is that he achieved those three World Cups. It's a lovely story you touched on there about his name. Yes, incredible. His father naming him Edson Arantes de Nascimento, and we just know him as Pelé. And yes, after Thomas Edison, as you mentioned, the city of Três Corações, Three Hearts, had just got electricity, and that was the reason behind it. Lovely story. But, yeah, he's undoubtedly, some people say he's one of the greats, but I think for people of probably my age, he's the greatest of all time. It's always a great discussion to have about all the great players. Maradona, of course, a wonderful player. Johan Cruyff from Holland. So many of these players have passed.
But
yet Pelé is still with us, which is great.
But what about Beckenbauer?
Beckenbauer, wonderful player. Another New York Cosmos player, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Pelé played.
Yeah.
Johan Neeskens played. Giorgio Chinaglia played. This is way back in the 70s. It was a really great team that New York Cosmos had. An amazing team. An incredible team. Yeah, some great stars. And I guess it's taken many years for football to reach that standard again in America, but now it's booming, and there's such an amazing amount of young people playing soccer, and I think America's going to become one of the great powers in soccer, and will be for the future. I'm sure the infrastructure's there, great interest, in particular from young people. But of course, America's got such a rich history of so many great sports and so many great sportsmen and women, I guess Americans are spoiled for choice.
Yeah. Peter, give me just a minute here. A little plug here. Michael Bellamy. Come on, Mike.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
With that, we will come back in. Peter, we're having you here, and, you know, Peter's a very humble guy. You know, Peter, why do you think... Now, Jim, so you have some questions too. Please jump in, Peter. Why do you think the women have adapted the game and played so much better here in America as opposed to the men? Is it because of their zeal, their acceptance, the fact that it could be theirs, as opposed to the men leaning more toward baseball, basketball? So why do you think, in your tremendous mind in the game, humble opinion, why do you think the women –
were able to be far more successful than the men in a sport. It's not like, you know, they lived over there. Why were the women able to enhance, comprehend, and excel in this sport, in your opinion, far superior than the men?
Well, that's a very difficult question, Doc. I think we'll probably need to speak to a sociologist or anthropologist to work that one out. It's very hard to say, but it's to great credit of the American women's football team. I mean, amazing ability, amazing talent, amazing achievement, and are icons around the world for many people in football. I guess it was a sport that was relatively undeveloped until recent times, you know, in terms of decades, and other sports had camped themselves very much, maybe in a male domain, where soccer was a relatively fresh sport that was maybe open to everybody, inviting people in, trying to get as many people involved as possible. And women have become a big part of American football and had phenomenal success. So, time for the men in America to catch up with the women and win a World Cup.
Well, you know, that great line, ladies first. You know who was an outstanding jump shot and Peter? Peter, just thank you so much for the honor of joining us once again. You know, John McEnroe was a good little football player. He was a good little foot player. You know, I think one of the greatest tennis players of all time. I think at his best, he's the best. But, you know, it just shows how the sport started to come about. But John Patrick McEnroe Jr., my buddy, you know, are you serious? Yeah, he's a pretty good little football player. What do we see in this World Cup? You know, Neymar has a propensity to be an elite player, but he has a propensity also to get hurt a lot. How good is Neymar? There was talk that, you know, he's the highest paid player. He was going to ascend to number one. We've got Messi. I've said this, and, you know, Messi is, I think, the better all-around player between him, Neymar, and Ronaldo. But I think Ronaldo is the better offensive player. You know, is the guy that, you know, Messi may, and baseball-wise jump shot, Messi may hit 320, 35 home runs, but Ronaldo will get you the 14. Well, your thoughts? Can Neymar extend to number one? And what are the differences in their game, Peter? Ladies and gentlemen, we got, you know, a lot of people around the world. One of our number one listeners from Brazil. We've got one of the great minds of Brazil. So we're kind of going to go with Pelé. We're talking football. What are their strengths? And can Neymar extend to number one? And is Messi still number one with Ronaldo, like they're 1 and 1A, Peter?
Well, you've got three players at very different ages, at very different stages of their career. You know, Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi are coming probably to the end of their careers. So they're into their mid to coming up to late 30s. And Neymar's still a relatively young man. You know, he's 27, 28, I think. And three phenomenal players. I think as time goes by, people will realize that we were very fortunate to live through an era to have three such spectacular talents. So far, I would say when they're at their height, it's a very tight discussion between Messi and Ronaldo for who's been the best player of this era.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that Neymar has the talent to go to that level, to be at their level. He needs the consistency of results, and he needs the achievements at the levels that they've achieved to be compared in terms of over the course of his career. But for individual talent, he's phenomenal. I mean, he's an amazing talent, and I really hope that he lights up this World Cup in the way that Pelé did on three occasions in the past. I'd love this to be his World Cup. I'd also like it to be Lionel Messi's World Cup as well, because that's what's missing from his CV. You know, Diego Maradona won the World Cup, his compatriot. So it would be really nice to see these players play at the top of their game. It's probably the last World Cup for Messi. It's probably the last World Cup for Cristiano Ronaldo. I'd be very surprised if they're still playing at that level in 4 years' time. So it would be really, really nice for these guys to go out in style. But very excited about the possibilities of this World Cup. And Brazil have an amazing array of talent, incredible array of talent. They could probably pick two teams that could potentially win the World Cup. They've got so many good players going into it. But of course, it depends how collectively they can play together as a team. That's always the thing with team sports, isn't it? It's not just about having one or two great individuals. It's got to be there as for the collective good. So yeah, it's going to be a great World Cup. The most watched sporting tournament in the world.
Yeah, no question.
Billions most of the planet's
no
going to be watching it. So yeah, it'd be great.
I felt that the last two World Cups, especially the one in Brazil, that, you know, they had a defensive-minded coach, and he took away from what Pelé used to say, the beautiful game. They want the offensive juggernaut they used to be, and I've said for a long time, coaches don't win games, they lose games. They're playing Colombia. They get up 2-0. He leaves in Neymar. Bam. Neymar gets hurt. And then I just feel that they haven't had the right coaches. Don't win games, they lose them. I think when we had the World Cup in Brazil, I think we had the wrong coach, and I think the biggest detriment is, and you saw the game too, Peter. You're up 2-0 on Colombia, and then you left Neymar as a marked man. He got hurt. I thought that was just a horrible decision, and without question, it cost them the World Cup, Peter. Your thoughts on that?
I think Germany had an exceptional tournament. You know, they were deserved winners of the World Cup. I think that Brazilian team was very dependent on Neymar.
Mm-hmm.
It was a terrible incident where he was injured. It looked like a very cynical foul upon him that put him out of the World Cup. And I think Brazil were overly dependent on him, but that's because he's such a great player, and there was nobody at the same level as him. Going into this World Cup, Brazil have some amazing players. Vinicius Jr., who plays for Real Madrid, who is a fantastic player. They have a selection. There's players, Gabriel Jesus, who plays for Arsenal, that are sitting at the top of the English Premier League. He wasn't even selected for the last two Brazilian games. Wasn't even selected for the squad, and he's been scoring regularly and taking Arsenal to the top of the English Premier League in England. So that shows you the strength of depth of the quality of players they have. I think it's very difficult to be the manager of Brazil because it's very difficult to follow five World Cup wins. And the expectation of the Brazilian people. It's so ingrained in their identity, football. It's a great source of pride to have won the World Cup more times than anyone else. I mean, to see the quality of players playing on the beach, men, women, love to, every weekend you'll see them on the beach playing football. I know you'll have seen it yourself. The depth of talent is unbelievable. It's remarkable. So it's such a big occasion around the World Cup, but more so for the Brazilian people, I think, than possibly any other country. But maybe I'm getting carried away with my passion for Brazil.
No. You're right. I mean, it's just like, baseball is the big thing here. Jump shot, when the United States doesn't win the gold in the Olympics, it's like, wow, what's going on here? So we totally understand. My question, how great was Ronaldinho, who was the tutor and mentor of Messi, and how great was Ronaldo?
Which Ronaldo are we talking about? The Brazilian Ronaldo or Cristiano Ronaldo?
I'm saying Brazil. Ronaldinho and the Brazilian Ronaldo, because I believe he was on the team that won the last World Cup, correct?
Yeah, and they are all phenomenal players, and they're also they're very, very different players. I mean, Ronaldo played pretty much in the same position as Pelé, and the Brazilian Ronaldo was exceptional, an amazing talent. I mean, incredible talent. It's a great, you know, you'll get arguments from people in Brazil. Most people will pick Pelé over Ronaldo, but you'll get some people that will pick Ronaldo over Pelé.
Really?
But they tend to be a bit younger. You know, they tend to be a bit younger.
Yeah.
That maybe didn't see Pelé at the height of his game. But they really are remarkable players. Ronaldinho, I've never seen a footballer that can do more with the ball than Ronaldinho. He was a one-off, a unique talent. I mean, all these names we're talking about, they were fantastic, but Ronaldinho could do things with the ball that nobody else in the history of football, in the history of the planet, has ever been able to do. He was a remarkably talented guy, played with a massive smile on his face all the time. He played in a game once for Barcelona against Real Madrid and destroyed Real Madrid. And the fans of these two teams hate each other. You know, there's a long history of Catalonia's battle for independence and a long history of Real Madrid's links to Spanish history and so on, etc. And defending it as a nation. And Ronaldinho played so well and destroyed Real Madrid in a game that even the Real Madrid fans who hate Barcelona stood up and gave him a standing ovation. They were so taken aback at how good he was. He was a remarkable player. And as you say, young Lionel Messi came into the team when Ronaldinho was already established there. And again, wonderful to have these players playing together in the same team. And yes, a good friend and an inspiration to Messi, Ronaldinho was. So these guys are good. I mean, in terms of the greatest team of all time, you know, that's a great discussion point as well. I would have Pelé and Ronaldinho in my greatest team of all time, definitely. People here in Brazil like to argue about Garrincha, who played in the same position as Lionel Messi.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would pick Garrincha ahead of Lionel Messi. So there you go. That's a great discussion point. And again, but I think you need to be of a certain age to have seen Garrincha play in the 60s or 70s to appreciate how good he was. One great story about Garrincha, he had a very interesting life. He had a lot of problems in his life. Unfortunately, he died of alcoholism. Pelé will not accept sponsorships from any alcohol company out of respect.
Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter, my goodness, we have to have you. Due to Garrincha dying from alcohol, Pelé will not accept or do any commercials for alcohol.
Correct.
My goodness. Yep. Did you hear that?
And I know firsthand it's true because the last time I did an event with Pelé, an alcohol company contacted me and offered a really large sum of money to him. It would have been even bigger than the money he was receiving for the event he was doing. And he instantly turned it down, no question. And that's why he turned it down, because out of respect and memory from his great friend, Garrincha. Garrincha married a lady called Elsa Suarez, who died just about a year ago in her 90s. And she was one of the great samba singers in the history of Brazil. They were a very fashionable couple in their days in the 1970s.
I can imagine all
the top fashion magazines in Brazil. I think one of my favorite stories about Garrincha was they went to play a game in Mexico, and everybody wanted to see Garrincha. And after 15 minutes into the game, Garrincha scored an amazing goal. The Mexican fans invaded the pitch, grabbed Garrincha, put him on their shoulders, and walked out of the stadium with Garrincha and never came back. And they had to play the rest of the game without Garrincha. And they found him in a bar at 4 o'clock in the morning the following day with all these Mexicans buying him drinks with him telling stories.
In Mexico? That was in Mexico?
That was in Mexico, yeah.
You know,
incredible story.
Cutting in real quick, you talking about Ronaldinho with that smile and jump shot. That reminded me of Jordan with the tongue. And then you also had talked about the fans giving that standing ovation, and that reminded me of Joe DiMaggio saying that the greatest ovation he ever got was coming out of the game near the end of his career against the Boston Red Sox was so much like the animosity toward those two teams. Doc Stanley Sports and their Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and God Radio Network. It's a Sunday. It's Belay's 81st birthday, and we're live from Lord Peter from Scotland here on Sports in Depth. Enlighten us, and just, man, I'm just, you know, I just thank God so much for you as a friend and everything as a brother. And, you know, these are the kind of things I learned. You know, and when you go and I can talk around people and I can say that, they'd be like, hey, man, this guy knows something. Well, yeah, you know, it's the people on this show who make me, you know what I mean? And, you know, you got to have somebody to catch the ball. You got to have somebody to hit the ball. And what a tremendous story. Now, if Messi doesn't get that World Cup, if Ronaldo doesn't get that World Cup, how much does not having that on their resume a detriment for them? You know, the thing that would play, and me and Jumpshot talk about this, you know, championships have their place. It shouldn't take away from talent. But to not have that, if Neymar gets that this year, does he ascend to the level that they both are now?
Well, it's such a subjective subject, isn't it, choosing one sports person over another. I mean, obviously, Pelé with three World Cups, that's pretty difficult to catch up with for any player.
Yeah,
and I guess it's a shame for, you know, anybody. It's timing's everything in life, as they say. You know, if you're following Muhammad Ali, if you're following Pelé, you know, these are pretty hard. These are pretty hard people to
Bill
live
Russell,
up to.
Bill Russell, 11 championships in 13 years. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, these are. Whether they win World Cups, Messi, Ronaldo, or Neymar, they are and have been the greatest players of their era. I think, as I say, Neymar's a bit young. He's still got a bit to go yet in his career. So, and also, he hasn't been surrounded in a Brazilian team. Great respect to Brazilian players. There's some fantastic players have played with Neymar. But I think every player who's played in these teams would admit they haven't had the collection of talent that 1970 had of the Brazilian team in Mexico when they won the World Cup.
Can you name all those players? I mean, there was Zizinho.
You had Jairzinho.
Is it good, right?
Pelé, of course. There are so many. Gerson, Tostão. You know, there are so many. Some of these players, you know, were the best. Many of these players would have made it into a World 11 of that era. You know, they were exceptional level of players.
Like an
and the team also that Ronaldo, the Brazilian Ronaldo, won the World Cup. You know, if you look at the players that were in that team, Ronaldinho, you know, the talent at that point is very, very high. I'm excited about this World Cup because I think there's young guys, as I said, like Vinicius Jr. There's a young man, Anthony, who I saw play here in Brazil, who now plays for Manchester United. He's just gone to English Premier League from Ajax. He's fantastic, and he's not even guaranteed a game for this Brazilian team. But there are so many. Also, I think they've got a great mixture of youth and experience in this team as well. They've got Casemiro, who plays in the Valanche position, as they call it, defensive midfield for us, for Valanche in Brazil. Very experienced, former Real Madrid. He's gone to Manchester United. Lucas Paquetá, who plays in Italy, who played here in Brazil. These are fantastic players. I think they've got a really, really good chance if they can pull it all together. They've got a really, really good chance. So let's wait and see what happens. I was just going to say on Pelé, on the social side, last time he was in Britain, I had an event with him, and I brought two friends to the event with me who I grew up with, and they're two friends of mine who came to Scotland leaving Nigeria during the Nigerian Biafran War in the late 60s, early 70s. And Jeffrey Ijoma and Udi Adigwe, still friends of mine to this day, and they came along to the event with Pelé, and it was very moving. And Jeffrey said to me, and Udi endorsed this, Jeffrey said that, you know, I had a poster of Pelé on my wall as a young kid. He said, you know, in the community in Scotland, there were very few black people in the community. He said, you know, I looked up to my dad, but there were almost no black sports people in Scotland. There was no black business leaders, community leaders, and so on, et cetera, at that point. He said, so there were very few role models for me to look up to, and I used to look up at my poster of Pele and believe I could be anything I wanted to be. And I was very moved by him telling me that. He went on to be a great doctor of psychiatry, very, very clever. Very clever guy, also very talented footballer, as my other friend Uri was as well. But they went more into academia, although they had the chance to play professional football, both of them, when they were younger. But it's just a nice little anecdote about the social influence. You know, would Pele ever imagine that there was a kid, a Nigerian kid, growing up in Glasgow, 5-6 years of age, that he was having such an impact on? You know, that's just one example. How many kids around the world had the same thoughts,
yeah,
same feelings? You know, Pele changed football in a magical way, but he also changed the world, along with the great Muhammad Ali.
Azali. You know, the thing is Willie Mays said, if the kids around the world, and that great song from Sam Cooke, What a Wonderful World It Would Be. You know, kids don't look as Pele as... Like baseball, they didn't see Willie Mays as a black center fielder. He was a center fielder, and kids are not caught up into. My mother used to say, you know, if you take kids down to the carousel, they don't care if they ride a green horse, a black horse, a pink horse. It's a horse. You know, they don't look at the color horse. They're concerned about being a horse. And I think, you know, Ali talked about that in not going to the war. I say, listen, no. First of all, I'm standing on my belief. But I understand I'm not going to the front line, but Jump Shot's going to join the Marines, and Doc's going to join the Army, and Peter's going to join the Marines. But they're going to go on the front line and get killed. I'm not going to get killed. I'm standing on my religious beliefs, and I'm not letting my fans. And I did this. I got to bring you that tape, too. I did a show with the late Bob Slade, and we talked about Ali. And one of the things that will always ever grateful to God and to him, first and foremost, and Slade, he had me on, and in the background, as I was talking, he had me playing The Greatest Love of All. And I said, you know, when Ali took that stand, you know, he had the backing of black Baptist ministers, Roman Catholic priests, you know, that's when, and the black community jumps in, I think, too, and the black world said, this is, and the youth of America, Greek, black, this is our champion. So much of what you're saying about Pele. And they didn't see Ali as a Muslim. They didn't see Ali as a black fighter. They saw the champion, Muhammad Ali. And this is what you're saying, the kids around the world. And I tell people, you know, when you talk about the greatest sporting event, it's the World Cup. You talk about the two greatest athletes of our lifetime, it's Ali and Pele, because they reach areas far beyond just the scope of where they were at. And at a time, Peter and Jump Shot, where communication-wise, you know, you don't have the global extent, but yet how they surpassed it. They surpassed it.
It's amazing as well, Doc, that you're probably one of the few guys in the world who's had the pleasure of meeting both gentlemen.
Yeah, and they both. The last time I saw Pele, he looked out and shook my hand. Would always talk. I said, you learn English pretty good, Ali. I tell the story of the last time Ali signed some stuff for me, because I always just say, I remember his friend Howard Bingham. They would say, "Hey, Doc," and I looked. There was Ali with Testament, and he won the George Potemkin Award, first ever, and you know, got the invitation to go, and so I'm leaving the house, and I had a bag full of Ali pictures, one of them what you have now, and I said, "You know what? Let me take everything." And I'll just take, you know, two or three out and let them sign them. And when I got there, I said, "Hey, champ, how you doing?" We know, "Hey, how you doing, man?" I said, "Champ, son, yeah, man." So I gave him three or four things. And then I took the four things and I put them in the bag. So he looks at the bag. He looks at me. He looks at my dad. He said, "Hey, man, what do you got in the bag?" I said, "Champ, I got a lot of stuff. You can't say, man, give me everything in the bag. Man, give me that. What are you hiding in the bag?" And Ali, the last time I saw him, he was looking around. I walk over here. Yeah, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. You've been one of the great blessings, too, as well as Jump Shot. And I think the point that you hit, too, is as I remember the first time I heard Larry Brown talking about Dr. J, he said, you know, he's the greatest superstar off the basketball court, and Pelé was just as great or greater off the pitch as Ali was outside the ring. You know, they were Hall of Famers in their venues and in the game of life, Peter.
Well, I think with I think incredible with Pelé, I was really struck with his how humble a man he is for all his great achievements. You know, his humility and also his respect for his fellow man and woman is to a great credit. You know, it's always nice when you meet heroes like that, and they have remained humble people and have respect for others. And yeah, I mean, what they have done, both Muhammad Ali and Pelé, for so many people around the world, we probably don't even know 5% of what they've done in terms of the activities, the influence they've had, and of course both immensely kind men as well, and did a lot for charity and did a lot to help those in need. And they just seem to, they touched the lives of so many people and improved them. And we've been very fortunate to have been around to have seen these great talents during our time on Earth. So time for us, the other gentleman you've mentioned, to pick up the mantle and start at the World Cup. So, Doc, I'm
going
to have to leave you. We're coming up to midnight here.
Give me a minute, Peter. Hold on before you go. Hold on, Peter. Hold on a second, because, you know, what we got to say about them, too, is a great line that Hal Jackson always says, you know, it's nice to be important, but it's important to be nice.
Absolutely. Nicely put.
Yeah. All right, Peter, we just can't say thank you enough for you joining us here. The education we learned. We're going to leave your side of the water. Regards to all the family and friends there in Fortaleza. Any closing thoughts you'd like to leave with us, Peter, before you go?
Yeah, just to think about our good fortune to have observed, to have the pleasure of watching such magnificent talents, and to feel inspired by them, not just by their ability on the pitch, on the type of human beings they are, that we should all try and aspire to give as much back to communities as we possibly can, take their lead.
Peter, quickly, now the pitch is, that's the whole field? Like in baseball, it's a diamond, so the pitch is where the players play on, correct?
Yep, that's correct.
And now what are the 9 players per team?
In football and soccer, 11 players per team.
Okay, and what are the positions? There's 11 positions?
Do you want them in Portuguese or in English?
Both.
Because they're called different things. But, yeah, the Pelé's position would be striker or centre forward.
Mm-hmm.
Messi would probably be seen traditionally as a winger. Cristiano Ronaldo's played as a centre forward, a striker, and a winger. Messi's played as a striker too. Neymar tends to play either as a sort of left winger or in a number 10 position, which is just behind the attackers. So these would be some of the positions. Then the defenders, central defenders, right backs, left backs, goalkeepers. In Brazil, Goleiro. Zagueros are defenders. Falanges are central midfielders. Ponta Direita are left and right wings. Centrovanche, Atacanche are the attackers, the strikers, and the center forwards. So there's a quick rundown on positions.
And what's the importance of the player wearing number 10? Is that a designated? It seems like to be the star wears number 10. Am I correct?
Well, yes, very true. Maradona, Pelé,
Neymar
have all won the number 10 at different times. Although in the last couple of decades, I would say the role number 10 has become a statement for a particular style of playing just behind the forwards. Some teams still play with that, some teams don't. but it tends to be referred to as a particular playing style. But yes, the number 10 has been a special number for some of the greatest players of all time. That's very true.
And now, who consider some of the greatest goalkeepers?
Well, that's Manuel Neuer, who plays for Germany at the moment, is for me one of the greatest goalkeepers of all time. I think he's a phenomenal talent. He has nothing missing from his game at all. He's very great shot stopper, is very comfortable with the ball at his feet. He can distribute the ball very well with his hands. He's a very dominant presence in the box. But yeah, through the years, there's been great goalkeepers. So many to mention.
Mm-hmm.
Yashin, who played for Russia, or the former USSR, was a great goalkeeper. There's been Sepp Maier, who played for Germany, Dino Zoff, who won the World Cup with Italy. So many great goalkeepers through the years. Hopefully we've encouraged a few people to watch this year's World Cup and enjoy it.
And also, I heard that the guy who played for Corinthians should have been a good goalkeeper, that the big team in São Paulo.
Yeah, they've had some big goalkeepers as well, and São Paulo too. Quite often in the past, the Brazilian goalkeepers were overlooked because the outfield players were so good. But they've had some good goalkeepers over the years. But at the moment, Alisson, for example, who plays for Brazil in goals, is for me one of the greatest goalkeepers that we've seen, and maybe the greatest Brazilian goalkeeper of all time. So yeah, there's plenty of good players to watch in the World Cup this year.
Now this is the last one.
The
1970 team that won the World Cup, was that the best Brazilian team of all time?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so, and I think most people who lived through that time, who were of an age to watch and remember that World Cup, I think would probably agree with me. The style of football they played was just unique, majestic, the grace, the rhythm, the pace, the strength, the athleticism. It was a joy. It was a beauty to watch, to behold. I would encourage anyone who's never seen that team play to go onto YouTube and look them up. The 1970 Brazilian World Cup winning team. You'll be captivated by what you see.
Thank you, Peter. Love you, baby.
Good night, Doc. All the best to you and your listeners.
Okay.
Abraços.
Good to see you in Brazil. Okay. To Doc Stanley, Sports Today, Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Gov Network. Lord, Peter McLean from Scotland. One of the great, very humble guy. Doesn't talk about the fact he's one of the big agents. He's some of the greatest football players of all time. He's been their agent, and he's been my agent for friendship, kinship, and love. Doc Stanley Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, Trust God. Never jump shot. What's happening with that Yankee game?
The Yankees have jumped back on top 5-4. It is the top of the seventh inning. Houston is now batting, so it's 5-4, New York. Top of the seventh. Now batting is Maldonado. Martin Maldonado is at bat as he leads off the top of the seventh for the Astros.
Okay, now what's happening with the football game, Jump Shot?
Okay, now the football game, the Steelers and the Dolphins, it is still 16-10. Miami, 3 minutes and 50 seconds left in the game. Oh, boy. Fourth quarter, 16-10, Miami. Mike Thomas' team is 2-4. Very, very rare to find him on the
downhill side.
On the under 500 side.
Yeah, downhill. Youngest coach to win a bowl.
They do.
Jump shot.
Steelers do have the ball,
mm-hmm.
So they are driving down. They're on the Miami 15-yard line. And they are moving the ball, so they are in range with 3 minutes left in the game. They need a touchdown, not a field goal. It is 16-10.
You know, it's
interesting
here. We talk about Miami and the coach that was winning, the coach that was paid to lose game, the coach that was
Sosa in the running for the head coaching job with the Giants, even though they already hired somebody. He's now the defensive coach for them. Can you elaborate on that situation? And also, you know, Brophy, and I talked to Dusty today. I said, you know, that's something. And he said, yeah, we know he's a good guy. I said, yeah, Dusty, but, you know, you should never been without a job in baseball. You know what I mean? And at the same time, you know, Willie Randolph hasn't got a second chance. And what he talked about, we talked about it a few minutes ago. He said, you know, I thought I'd get another chance. He's a bench coach for Buck Showalter, and that was it. He was benched after that. Chris Chambliss has never been offered. You know, and I'd like to – I wish I talked to Michael Mays some more. If, you know, if we look back, jump shot, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, Rod Carew, Reggie Jackson, never offered a managerial job. I had heard that Herman Franks had a group of people who were going to buy the Yankees. They're going to buy the Yankees, and Willie Mays is going to be the player manager. But the deal fell through. But it's just remarkable to me, as a great man Boykin says, that, you know, nobody ever offered. I'd heard someplace that Willie said that managers were, you know, hired to be fired. But yeah, I've never heard. And the thing, too, with that is what we talked about, jump shot. Okay, well, forget about the manager. What about a GM job? Daryl Maxwell became GM of the Cardinals, and his whole strength to faint was that strength was that Bob Gibson said he'd like to see him at shortstop when he pitched. But nobody's – and I remember Bill White telling me when he became the National League president, the highest position ever by a black in baseball, he resigned. And I see the moment now. I said, Bill, what happened? They said they ain't going to change. And this is 30 years ago. They ain't going to change. I mean, we'll look across the board, jump shot, and basketball and football. Ain't nobody thinking about a black commissioner? I talked to George Santiago, very close friend of Dusty Baker's closest friend, played in my leagues. You know, I said, you know, he said, you know, baseball should have a job for Dusty Baker when he's no longer a manager. I said, man, what about the first black baseball commissioner? He said, well, I don't think it'll go that way. You know, but nobody's talking about a black commissioner, nothing. In a sport that 85% us, both basketball and football, nobody's thinking about it. I mean, this guy, Adam Silver, he looks like an alien. And the guy before him, that his name escapes me, you know, he graduated out of Rutgers with a certain degree that had nothing to do, you know, with business and stuff. I can't think of his name. I see him now. But, you know, it's just remarkable to me that we're in the – nobody's thinking about a black commissioner, nothing. Baseball, football, basketball, you know, the great line from Marion Borkin. It's remarkable to me, but as Sam Cook says, you know, change is going to come. And I say, Sam, it ain't come yet, and it ain't coming. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Government Network. Yankees have jumped back in the lead at the stadium looking to salvage some pride, dignity, and get back into the series, well, at least win a game in this series. So we'll keep update on that. Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dolphins in a close one.
Update, a mistake was made by the rookie quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Interception with 3 minutes left in the game. Miami now has the ball, leading 16-10. And if they don't, the Steelers don't get the ball back, Mike Tomlin will go to 2-5. What a season so far in the NFL. We have Mike Tomlin, who has never had a losing season, retirement of Ben Roethlisberger. His team is now faced with a 2-5 possibility, 2 minutes and 38 seconds left. Both Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady are quarterbacking teams that are under 500 so far as we move toward the middle of the NFL season.
Wow, great. So Brady's got a loser. Look at that. So is this jump shot? Excuse me. Is this little Pete or is this GW joining me?
GW.
Okay, GW. We got some time here left. He's joining here. Okay. You have an update for us on the fight that's been canceled between Spence and Crawford?
I've been getting bits and pieces. I'm trying to reach out to every person I have that's between.
You gotta
right
talk louder. You gotta speak, get closer to the mic on your phone and louder. You're not loud enough for me.
How's that? I better know.
Okay, that's louder. That's better. If you can get better, get better. You said you're going to have a gentleman that was going to join us today, but we can get him maybe tomorrow?
Yeah, we're going to try to get him in tomorrow. But going back to the Spence situation first, the thing that we have right now is there was an article. I'm getting pointed in the directions of articles, too. And one of the articles I did find, they pointed me in the direction of Andre Ward. And Andre, they think Andre Ward's getting in his ear. Supposedly the money wasn't the issue. The terms were agreed upon. But I guess Crawford demanded to see or wanted in writing what his guarantees were going to be. And a few of these things were not able to be put in writing. So,
So if they can't be put in writing, jump shot, then what is he bitching about? From what I heard, he was going to give 40% of whatever they decide to give him. So we can't, unless you want a flat up front. So we can't give you 40% of 70,000 because this is a figure because we don't know if it's going to be 70,000. We'll give you 40%. We don't know, but my thing is, huh?
It wasn't.
But my thing is this, the guy signed to fight somebody else while telling, and this is the bottom line with this. It's not about you bringing me ice cream. I told you to bring me strawberry, and now you brought me no ice cream. And this is the case here, is that he had, now, if I'm right here, he had the Spence people thinking after Spence said, I'll give you, let's do 55-45, okay. And he had them, okay, I'll get back to you. And this is how he got back to him, by turning around and finding out that he signed with something. And here's the bottom. Here's the deal. Crawford does not sell on pay-per-view. Okay,
well,
Bob Arum let him go. Arum had no problems with Ali. Okay? Andre Ward is an elite fighter. There's nothing great about Andre Ward. He lost the fight against Klovanov. He's an outstanding fighter, but in my pantheon of great fighters, Andre Ward's not in the great fighters. But, forget into that, But my thing is this, if Jump Shot, G-Dub, if he wanted to fight, and I use his example, Eddie Mustafa Muhammad said, hey, man, whatever he wants, he can have. Whatever he wants to fight, he can have. All I want to do is get him in the ring. I see DK now telling me, I gave Bob Arum everything he wanted in this fight. Everything he wanted. I told him, this is very simple, though. When my man beats your man, because I know my man can beat your man, which he really didn't, the deal you gave me, I'm going to give you. So, what's all this looking in the book stuff? Who is Terrence Crawford? I'm going to read you some stuff. Go ahead. Keep talking, Jump Shot. Go ahead.
So my point, this is my point now. You're right. But I do want to say this. I love Eddie Mustafa, and he's a very good friend of mine. I've talked to him. He's helped me, so I don't mean any disrespect.
You talking about Eddie Mustafa? Knowing Eddie Mustafa has nothing to do with what he did with Marvin Johnson. He's told Marvin Johnson, what do you want? What do you want to fight? Let's do this. So, knowing him, I know Eddie the Flame Gregory, but we're not talking about the great guy he is. We're talking about the fact that he said, let's do this.
What I'm trying to tell you is, you have to take it from another standpoint, from the way athletes think nowadays. Eddie Mustafa Muhammad, how is he doing financially right now?
I'm not concerned about – we're talking about then, 30 years ago. He was doing good financially then. And the idea is if you're going to better your finances, then you take the biggest fight of your career, beat this guy who you know you can beat, and you get the biggest share of the money on the rerun.
In the right world, in boxing nowadays, if you have one loss in boxing today, you're written off. You're signed with the wrong side. There is a chance that this fight is a very close fight, and the decision goes to Spence easily if it's under Al Heyman's rules. So I understand. I'm not saying that this is the truth. I don't know. But I'm looking at it from every perspective of how a fighter thinks nowadays. We are not in the old days anymore. And
it's not the old. It's common sense. Jump Shot. It's common sense, G-Dub. This is the most money you're ever going to make, whether they give you $10 million or $8 million. But the bottom line is, in my opinion now, Ray Leonard, sometimes it's not about the money. It's about coming to change. Now, I'm going to read you a quote from Mary Brooke. Hold it. Let me Mary Brooke in.
You know, now he said, you know, just building up interest in the fight. If I was Spence, I wouldn't fight him. Only if I had to, and he don't. It won't, wouldn't bargain, you know, I wouldn't bargain with a contender anywhere like Spence. Okay, let's go through it. Just building up interest in the fight. Okay, let's give that to Crawford. If I was Spence, I wouldn't fight him. Only if I had to, and he don't. Okay? Okay, that's number two. I wouldn't bargain with a contender. Okay? Crawford's a contender. Don't come in here with, you know, he's a contender, and he's acting like he's the champ. You know, and like Marion said, anyway, I like Spence. But if the fight comes off, but you know, I understand what you're saying. But there ain't but one side to see to this. It ain't but what he's thinking, right? Because you can't be thinking. What are you thinking? This is the biggest fight you're ever going to get. All right.
His move that he made, the move he made, is either pure genius or utterly this dumbest decision he's ever made. Because if he goes inside
good point.
A promotional company. It's either if like let's think about it right now. The fight was supposed to be made, okay? Now, follow me before you interject. Let me finish for a minute. Now, he signs with a paper. He's charging for a pay per view. Can't even sell a good fight on pay per view, but he's selling a pay per view fight right now because the reason why people are going to buy this pay per view is out of being interested in this situation, not his fight.
The fight is off, Jump Shot. GW, the fight is off. They're not buying this fight. The fight's off. Did you? Marion said, just told us, Spence doesn't have to fight him. And maybe Spence won.
I'm saying, you're not listening to what I'm saying. What I'm trying to tell you is, follow me for 1 second. Crawford just signed with this company that nobody knows who they are, okay? Crawford is fighting on pay-per-view against a guy that nobody knows. People are going to buy this fight that Terrence Crawford has on December 4th that's not against Errol Spence out of pure interest.
No, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. That's bullshit. And listen, I hope I'm wrong. Nobody gives a damn. Crawford has left a bad taste in people's mouth and a bad taste in boxing. I don't think Crawford can win. I mean, nobody.
It's 2022, anything goes in boxing right now. Come on, let's be honest with you. People are.
Well, I mean, this is. I want to see this quickly. Let me give you something. From Lady A. Oh, bitch. Hold your thought. Doc, not sure if this is your message or just something you forwarded. I am very skeptical about Crawford. Number one, I didn't like the way he disrespected you and made the comments he made to you. Second, he doesn't seem to be a stand-up guy. That's just based on my perception. I may be wrong. But who goes into a negotiation like they are all ready to make a fight and sign with the intent to break the contract? Why even show up? If you're there to negotiate, then negotiate. But don't act like you're interested and make a comment, then sign another deal. I'm saying that based on what you told me, also he acted like Spence owes him something when he doesn't, okay? He can't fight someone else. He can fight someone else. Bottom line is business. You are either there to get paid, fight or not. Okay? Now, you know, this is the second he's not the most credible guy in the game. Aram has said redundantly he's hard to make fights. What big fight has he made? What outstanding fight has he made? So, I mean, you can finish with your scenario here, but, I mean, I don't see people rushing to see Crawford fight on pay-per-view because they haven't rushed to see him fight on pay-per-view before. Now, you're saying the bargaining chip is, okay, especially if he's fighting the tomato can like Dusty says. I mean, he's got to fight somebody. Who's he going to fight? He's got to fight what? Pacquiao? He's got to fight Keith Thurman? He's got to fight Danny Garcia? Somebody like that? I don't think so. Because if he does that, he's got a chance to lose. I mean, Joe Frazier showed you that. Joe runs away from Ali and runs into Foreman. Never saw the heavyweight title again. Okay? Mike Rosman ran away from Eddie Mustafa Muhammad for Yaki Lopez. Boom, he's gone. I mean, I can understand some of what you're saying, but, you know, it doesn't make sense. I mean, you're saying today Saturday is 2-4. But Lady A had a very good point. Also, he acts like Spence owes him something when he doesn't. What did Marion said? If I was Spence, I wouldn't fight him. Spence doesn't need him. Him and his people don't understand that? Spence doesn't need it. We were going to see that fight because Spence was fighting Crawford, not Crawford fighting Spence.
People,
talk to me,
in 2022, in 2022, people, it's different now. People, I'm thinking what's right, the way we think is right, doesn't work in 2022. People do not keep their word anymore. People go into the negotiations with five other deals in their head if it doesn't go away. People, this is how it is. The business end of things is so dirty that nobody keeps their word about anything. Look at, and again, I would put money on it. People would be more willing to buy this fight through the – people are more willing to buy controversy than they are a fight right now in 2022. Just look at the YouTube fight. You have a full O2 arena that fills up in fucking England over a YouTube fight, and you can't sell more than 5,000 tickets for an American fight and a great fight here. This is the world we live in now. It's just different. What's right doesn't matter anymore because people don't follow the ethics and the rules of this game anymore. It's not – we know that. So you're surprised that he this dude pulled out? Absolutely not. I'm not surprised. Was it the right thing to do? Absolutely. It was not the right thing to do. But nobody cares in 2022. This is how it is. And I'm telling you right now, this is either going to be disasterful for him or it's going to be genius. It's one or the other because the people – because think about it. He might have played this where he got more of a name off backing out of this deal. He probably made more publicity backing out of this deal in the negotiations than he did ever with any of his fights.
Okay, you know what? Jump shot. Come here, jump shot. Talk to me, baby. Talk to me, jump shot.
Spence and Crawford and the current state of boxing is the fight people want to see.
Yep.
Spence and Crawford in the current state of boxing, where we are right now, until my protege, Jahan Ingram, who's coming up the ranks in the lightweight division, you know, makes a name for himself. Spence and Crawford is the fight people want to see. Crawford knows that. Crawford knows that, Doc. So he has some leverage.
I don't see how he has leverage by not fighting Spence. He's taking a chance on fighting the tomato can.
He has to fight Spence.
At this point, I see what you're saying. That's the fight people want to see. But people are going to take that. Okay, I'm just leaning on two things here, okay? Lady A said he acts like Spence owes him something when he doesn't. Marion Boykin, greatest boxing mind of our time. The Max Cullerman is a disciple of Marion Boykin. If I was Spence, I wouldn't fight him. Spence does not need him. Okay? So Spence can do two or three fights, okay, and make what he made with him. Crawford can't do that. Crawford can't do that. You know, and that's what Spence said. You know, hey, man, if he was going to pull out, now I'm sitting here doing nothing. You know, I would have fought somebody else. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's bad enough you told me, you know, you told me Monday you were going to call me Wednesday for the party on Friday. Now you're calling me on Friday telling me you ain't coming. Why don't you tell me that, man? Both of you guys are saying, okay, you're saying he's doing this.
And Crawford is the fight the people want to see in 2022.
It's the fight they want to see, but.
Not in 1992. In 2022, Doc, this is the one. And Crawford knows that, so that's where his leverage is. Do I agree with him signing on to fight someone else? He knows if this is his fight, then he should have seen it all the way through. But from the people's standpoint, in 2022, in this division, Spence and Crawford is the long-awaited fight that people want to see.
Okay, now, so now what do we do if Ben says, hey, man, I'm not going to fight him? And, you know, what's he going to do is who, and understand, if, let's go to my side of the thing here. That's the fight people want to see. But Spence doesn't need Crawford, okay? Spence doesn't need Crawford. Spence doesn't need Crawford to make, so I don't make this fight and make $10 million. So I fight Doc and GW and make four apiece, five apiece. I got my $10 million back, you know? I understand what you're saying, but, you know, I don't see where Crawford and maybe is going to backfire on him. You know what I mean? I just don't see unless – I just don't see it. Unless he's okay, let's make the fight, we'll do 60-40. Wait a minute. So you're going to give spend 60 now over 40? Over 45, 55, 45? No, we're going to do, I'm going to get a hold of Spencer's trainer, and during the week we'll do another show and talk to him, and we'll get a feel of what's going on. Because, you know, he may have left a very bad taste
in
people's mouth.
I forgot to tell you that one of the things I was told in the article that my buddy answered, I guess one of the things that Terrence Crawford was interested in is it was having a three-fight contract, a three-fight deal in the contract, which he was unable to get. Again, I don't know how true it is. I'm just putting together.
No, he wanted what?
He wanted a three-fight deal in the contract with against.
A three-fight deal?
Yeah. Yeah, but again, I don't know how true that is. I'm with what's the name on this? I think personally, Terrence Crawford got more publicity out of this stunt that he pulled than any fight that he ever had.
I don't know. You guys are talking about the only person talking about this is us here. I haven't read anything. I haven't seen anything. I haven't heard anymore. I mean, is Dan Raphael, Max Cullen talk about this? I mean, because they got to look like egg on their face because they said that Crawford had instilled fear in Spence. So now, this looks like to me, he's acting like the little chocha by backing out and taking another fight. So I'm thinking, well, if you wanted to fight, why didn't you fight Spence? I mean, he cannot be making the same kind of money that he would have made in a Spence-Crawford fight. So, I don't know. I'm just saying, you weren't going to make the same kind of money. Not to mention, in boxing, you fight for the money and for the title. So he's looking for the titles that Spence had, and he's going to get the money. So I just, how are you Spence? So now I'm even thinking he was afraid of Spence because he wants a three-fight deal. Why do you want a three-fight deal if you feel you're going to win the fight? If you're going to win the fight, I don't need a three-fight deal. You know what I mean? Now, I'll decide after I beat you if I want to fight you again. So why do I need a three-fight deal? I don't need a three-fight deal.
Remember,
I'm going to beat you. And if I decide to fight you again, I will fight you again when I decide to fight you. These are things that, like I said, I don't know jump shot. I don't know. We'll go through the week. I haven't heard of, when I told Dusty, he hadn't heard about this. I told Lady A, she hadn't heard about this. June was the one that hit me. We'll try to get June with us, too. So I'm thinking, I mean, you're telling me things that he is saying that makes sense to him. But, you turn down 5% more. You sign to fight somebody else while still telling the people you were making negotiations. And now you're telling me that he wanted to see the books. You're getting 40% whatever I get you. You don't need to see the books, because, the fight's not signed. So there's no precursor or estimate what's going to come. So why you don't look at my books? Who the hell are you looking at my books? There's nothing to look at. There's nothing here. If I'm wrong, there's nothing here. We don't know what's going to happen. So how can I show you 40% of what I don't have? That's one. If I'm wrong. Now, two, is you want a three-fight deal? I thought you were going to win. Ain't that up to you? So you must think you're going to lose. Think you're going to lose.
Prime streaming.
Huh?
What is BLK, a prime streaming service?
You got to talk louder, Pete. Mike, I'm not hearing you, man. Come louder.
It says BLK Prime Streaming Services. That's who's he's fighting the fight on.
Have you ever heard of these people?
No, I never heard of it before.
Okay. What about you, Jump Shot?
No, this is probably the new wave now. They do that with Thursday Night Football. Thursday Night Football does not come on the NFL Network anymore. It comes on the streaming service, which you have to pay. It's another way to capitalize on getting more money out of the average consumer who pays enough, just with having cable or internet or – and now they have these streaming services where you have to order in order to see games that you would normally see.
But my point is this, gentlemen, who's going to tune in to see Crawford? They weren't tuning in for him on pay-per-view. They weren't tuning them on in. You saw them on free TV because it was free. But they weren't paying to see him on Praise the View. So what makes them think they're going to pay to see him streaming?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Again, it's 2022 going into 2023. These are the two top guys in this division. Terrence Crawford is an undefeated fighter, but yet this fight here is going to be his sixth. And I don't. That's probably why he wants at least a three-fight deal, because you can't name, even though he's an undefeated fighter, you can't name three fighters of significance that he's beaten in the division.
Well, that,
and the division is not even that strong.
I can't name what the significance that Crawford has beaten.
Yeah, name five in the division.
He hasn't made five. The only one that beat was the guy he fought, who's dead through the towel and on the name escapes me, my good buddy there. So, you know, there's so that's the point too. If he hasn't made money fighting half-assed quality guys, who's going to pay this? I mean, a guy like Dusty will, but, you know, I just don't see it. And then there's a lot of people who are going to be pissed off at him and going to say, man, hell with that, man. Screw him. Excuse the expression. Fuck that, man. You know, look what he did. So he has alienated himself with a horde of people, and a lot of people are mad at him. I just don't see people rushing to see Crawford when they never were rushing to see him on pay-per-view. I don't, you know, and then they're going to say, like, who is this? Now, the curiosity may get them to say, well, who is this? Okay, let me try it out. That could be the case.
Exactly. I think he's going to make more money with the anticipation of controversy over this. I think he made more. I think he got more publicity out of the negotiating stages of this than he did in any fight he ever had. And I got to be honest with you. He's probably getting paid a ton of friggin' money to sign with these people who are trying to get their feet wet in the business, just like Triller did. Listen, it's 2022. And, Doc, you know what? Here's one thing I got to say to you. I don't agree with this statement at all, but there's one thing I do have to say. In 2022, what Sugar Ray Leonard said doesn't mean anything. It's in 2022, it's all about the money.
You know, hey. 2-2 is always 4, okay? And I don't see Crawford coming out the winner on this, okay? I don't see people rushing to see Terrence Crawford fight on a network they never heard of. If they weren't rushing to see him pay on fight on Top Rank, if they weren't rushing to see him play over Top Rank, was one of the
Doc, this company, whoever this company is, it's their first.
That's the call. Ho. You just said it. Who the hell is this company?
But you're not listening, though, Doc. If this company,
I don't have to listen any further. Who is this company? You're telling me that he's signing, so this is going to make. He hasn't got the name to make this network. I don't think. Go ahead. Finish. Go ahead.
So what I'm trying to say to you is, these guys, you have to look at Crawford. Now, if this company just came in, okay, there's so much money flowing in these companies that have so much money. What if these people paid him astronomical amounts of money for bullshit? There's a possibility of that, too. If they threw this guy millions of dollars, for them to charge $39.95 for a guy that never sold a pay-per-view and he's fighting a guy that nobody knows, these people must be trying to make some kind of entrance or they're just stupid. But they must have paid him stupid money, which in 2022, there is stupid money out there. So now this guy, you know, who's the real winner here? You know, yeah, if Spence got millions of dollars to do something that didn't make any sense, if Crawford got all this money to sign with these people, and meanwhile, he's like, you know what, and I'm still going to have the Crawford fight, just like Jump said. In 2022, people want to see Spence and Crawford. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but this fight is not happening in 2022. Duh. It's not going to happen.
This is the fight that people want to see in the division. This is
This fight is not.
Is,
well, am I lose? It's
well,
not happening.
Happen this year, this is still
no,
the fight
hey,
that they want.
Spence
it
may
not
say, you
in
know what?
No,
you're right.
This is what
it's the fight they want to see in 2022. But Lomachenko's coming back.
Okay.
They'll want to see this fight in 2025. They'll still want to see this fight in 2025. And these guys are doing great.
Listen. They may want to see this fight. Smith may not want to make it. He may say. He may have said, "Excuse me, fuck him."
Huh?
Me ain't got no choice. He ain't got to fight. Spence, you're losing. He doesn't need Crawford. He's got most of the belts. He's a pay-per-view fight seller. So he don't fight Crawford and make, let's say, $10 million, but he'll fight two guys and make $12 million. He don't need Crawford. Am I losing y'all here? He don't need Crawford. I mean, Lady A said it, you know. But hey, Marion said, I wouldn't fight him. And Spence does not need him. He's acting like the asshole that they say he is, that he's Ray Leonard, that he's Mike Tyson, that he's Ali, that he's Duran, that he's Sugar. What do they say? What do they say? He's a contender. Lady A say he can fight somebody else. Bottom line is business, and you're either there to get paid or not. He said, but, you know, he's a contender in this guy. He's a contender. I mean, but listen, love to be wrong, you know, but in dealing with him and being around him, this doesn't make any sense, man. Doesn't make any sense. I don't see this. Like I said, we have to see. You know, we got some time. It's a great subject. We got some time in these 2 weeks. See how this comes out. See what people are saying. But right now, we're the only one talking about it. And I don't think a lot of people are going to say, fuck him, man. Especially, here's the bad taste. If the negotiations fell out, that's one thing. But when they find out that he had signed behind Spence's people back for another fight,
but it creates.
I want to see what Don Raphael, and I could be wrong now, and Max, my buddy Max, has to say now. You know, but a lot of people are going to say, what? He did that? Excuse the expression, gentlemen. They're saying, fuck him, man. And I ain't going to pay to see him. Fuck him. And maybe Spence people, we'll try to get his people on the thing, because they may say, hey, well, you know, the door's still open. But, you know, Spence said, hey, man, to do 55-45. Okay? I'll pick you up at 7 o'clock. I get to the house at 7. They say, well, he left yesterday. That's not even bad that he left 2 hours ago. He left yesterday. What? He thought he was coming today. He left yesterday? Well, we got to see. Gentlemen, let's get my man in here, Marvin Gaye, and then we want to keep the update on the baseball game. Doc Stanley, Sports Net, Block Talk Radio, Trust and Governor Eric Lord, Peter McLean from Fortaleza in Scotland joined us earlier. Big lesson there learned. I've got two of the legendary figures, baby. Two of the legendary figures right here. Jump Shot Jonesy, GW Mike, and here's another one, Michael Bellamy.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sport in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Always, as we move along the way, we bring in the one and only, the legendary, the late Marvin Gaye, that has this to say before we go on our way. They're here, keep an update on the game. Football scores, Jump Shot will give us the final in that Pittsburgh-Miami game, which is a big game for the Jets if they won a game, and they'll play the Patriots next week. But, hey, don't move. Don't nobody move.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares?
Put those other two tapes on.
Save the world.
Play the role.
In despair.
Okay. Jump Shot and
really
I'll get your autographs later for me. Relax.
There'll come a time when the world won't be singing. When the world won't be singing. Flowers won't grow. Bells won't be ringing. No bells won't be ringing. Who really cares? Who really cares? Who's willing to try? Who is willing to try? To save a world. To save a world. That's destined to
that
die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world,
it fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with
children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to live.
Such a bad way to live.
Who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
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 Live
for life.
Live for life.
But let's live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live. The children, oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you want to live, you got to live. Save the babies. Oh, the blood of fear.
And if I may say that the sports in-depth nation is here. The sports in-depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the...
You know, I think... Radio Trust in God Network. Technology is here. And GW Mike. And when they're here, they always get it on the money, on the point, and right. I like that. I got to put that down. On the money, on the point, and right. Jump Chat, what's the update on those football games and the baseball game at Yankee Stadium?
Miami prevailed and they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers 16-10. The return of Tua tonight. And the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin are 2-5 right now. Miami went to 4-3. And the Astros have scored a couple of runs here. They're leading 6-5 as we move toward the eighth inning. And they're about six outs away from going to the World Series.
Well, do you know how they get those runs?
No, I don't.
Okay, yeah, we'll find that. I'm going to go into my thing now and see that. Let's see if I can find that for us in a minute. Let's go do a little rerun. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the – well, it's always a great time with these guys, and it's really been such a big enlightenment with Peter giving – no, wasn't some of that stuff very interesting that Peter's told us about the football over there in Europe?
Oh, absolutely. Great stuff there. You know, one of the questions that I wanted to ask him, didn't get a chance to ask him, was did he have any, and maybe next time we get him on, is there any suggestions that he may have from his experience as to where we can regain some interest and enthusiasm on this side of the globe with football, soccer. Pele, he really brought an awakening and popularity to the sport during the 70s and the 80s. And now that we're moving toward 2023, you know, did he have any ideas or any recommendations as to how, you know, we
well,
can
well,
recreate
no,
some
well,
of
that will get him back
enthusiasm.
Would have to. Yeah, thanks to Mike. It's the middle of the eighth inning. Houston is out right now as we go to the bottom of the eighth. Houston with 6 runs, 8 hits, and no runs, no errors. Yankees, 5 runs, 9 hits, and 1 error. New York jumped off to a 2-zip lead, 3-zip lead. Houston came back in the third inning to get 4 runs. Yankees tied it up in the fourth to make it 4-4. Went up 5-4 in the bottom of the sixth, but Houston got 2 runs. Let me see if I can get a update here. Let's see what we have here as we go to my situation here. Hold tight. Lance McCullers started 4-2, a 2.27 ERA. And Nestor Torres before he got hurt. Really good record there. Not getting the credit he should have. The pitcher, he was 12-4 in the season, 2.44 ERA. Came into the playoffs, 1-0 with a 2.7 ERA. And let's see if we can get some update here as I go to this part.
3-1. And that ball's hit hard in the right field. A big hit. Coming around the score is Bader. On his way to third goes Rizzo. And the Yankees strike first in game 4. RBI single for Giancarlo Stanton. And it's 1-0 New York. Well, Stanton all postseason has been driving it. Torres lifts it in the air. Shallow center field. Long run. That's going to fall. The wind really knocked it down. Good base running by Stanton. McCullers. And that's a base hit. In the left field it goes. Kiner Falefa will score. Rizzo on his way to second. Throws off the mark. It's an RBI double. 3-0 Yankees. You know, guys, when Rizzo...
The Yankees were up 3-0, 3-zip heading into the third. The first time in the 11 meetings this year that they had a lead over the Astros at the end of a full inning. Interesting.
I'm Jay, and this is my home.
A little commercial here. That's interesting. Let's get back to the game. Hold on a second. We'll find out how these things are, how things occurred the way they did. Here we go. Let's get back to it.
3-1. And he swings and lifts one in the air. Deep to left field. He'll watch it fly. Jeremy Pena. One swing of the bat. And the Astros tie it at 3. Pena's third home run of the postseason.
Jeremy Pena, who hit the decisive blast in ALDS Game 3, became one of 6 rookies in postseason history to homer in a potential clinching game. He's done a great job for the Astros, filling in for the free agent that left last year. Let's get the pitching breakdown on Nestor Torres before he left. He had 24, he did good. They showed him his sliders. He did a great job. Underrated. Guy overlooked him. He's won some big games, 12 games through the course of the season. Let's get back to some action here.
Tying run at second base. 1-1. Rizzo, and he shoots one through base hit. Here comes Bader. And the Yankees have tied it at 4.
Look at that. A little curveball. What does he do? Right back up the middle the other way. And as you said, with Bader, speed, scored easy.
And Lance McCullers' record, he left. Had the stat on him. Okay, let's move on to
third game as a leadoff man this season. First one came back in May with the Cardinals. And now Bader will launch one out of here. How about Bader? 86 games in the regular season, 5 homers.
Harrison Bader is the 5th player in Yankee history with 5 or more homers in a single postseason. Okay. So right now, that's kind of irrelevant.
Astros have tied it and looking for more. 2-2, and Bregman into right center, a base hit. Alex Bregman delivers the go-ahead run. Jeremy Pena scores.
Well, there we got it. Bregman hit a 3-run home run of the day jump shot. His RBI single here.
Have tied it and looking for more.
So
2-2, and Bregman into
there
right
we go.
Center,
okay. So there's the latest
Bregman
update on how that happened, jump shot. So 6-5. It is the bottom of the eighth. Once again, total 6 runs, 8 hits, no errors for the Astros. 5 runs, 9 hits, 1 error for the Yankees. The Astros started hitting a little bit, But jump set, they had the propensity to get the big hit. And Jerry Pena has done a I don't know if you've been watching him during the course. He's done a great job at shortstop. He's made some tremendous plays defensively. And more importantly, he's hit 27 home runs. There's a lot of home runs for a shortstop jump shot.
Yeah, he's had quite a season for Dusty. As a matter of fact, you know, it comes on the heels of moving on from Carlos Correa, who opted to sign with the Minnesota Twins and opted out after 1 year to become a free agent. So I don't know if he misses Houston and misses playing for Dusty Baker. I guess things didn't work out in Minnesota where he wanted to. He signed a 3-year contract, but he had to opt out after his first year. So he opted out. He is now a free agent, Carlos Correa. But Pena is a Rookie of the Year candidate for the Astros.
You know, Jeff, my goodness. Doc Sandy Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Government Network. I tell you this, you know, it's too old that I am somebody. My people are not the best. They're the absolute best. You know, that's a thought that hasn't even crossed anybody's mind. The Astros have a chance to have the Rookie of the Year, the Manager of the Year, and the Cy Young Award. I think it's without question. Dusty's Manager of the Year, Verlander, Cy Young of the Year. But you're right. And you got to look at him as Rookie of the Year because of the offense jump shot that he's brought to the shortstop position. And we just, you know, in the postseason, well, postseason doesn't count for the season, but he had 27 home runs during the season, which is a nice amount of home runs for a shortstop jump shot.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, this is a sound team. You know, this is a sound team from top to bottom. And, you know, they're going to be tough to beat. I guess we have to give kudos to, and even though you know, I have a lot of family members who rib me in Pennsylvania about these Philadelphia teams, I have to take my hat off to them because they did make it to the World Series, and that would be the Philadelphia Phillies, who were not a first-place team, not even a second-place team, but a third-place team in the National League East, but prevailed and went all the way to the
World Series.
So kudos to them. Even though my family of Pennsylvania haters, I have to still have to take my hat off to them because not only did the Phillies make it to the World Series, the Eagles are undefeated. The Sixers, although they're not starting out well, are supposed to be title contenders this year. The Doc Rivers, and I don't know what's going on with the Flyers, but kudos to Philadelphia and the Phillies and the Eagles right now.
Mm. Yeah, okay. Doc Sandy Sports Network, Block Talk Radio, Trust and Guard Network. So Steelers lose, and we are in, what, eighth inning now with our baseball game?
Yeah, we actually, the Astros are moving toward 4 outs away from the World Series. It's 6-5.
Okay, so the Yankees are coming up in the eighth?
No, the Yankees are up.
Okay, they're up in the eighth. Okay. Okay. So the Yankees are up in the eighth.
Two out.
So, okay, so one more out. And depending on how you're feeling, we can maybe hang on or wow, this is it. Wow. Wow.
Yep.
Doc Sandy, Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Government Network. We say once again, and since we're here, still here, happy birthday to Edson. Now, that was remarkable. Now, I saw a lot of the dirty stuff they did. They changed it, but Peter said, you know, they could do. But, man, what a conviction, man, of not ever in – and I think, you know, friendships and brotherhood was a lot more meaningful, sincere in yesteryear than it is today. You know, the bond that over the years I've created with you and Dusty and Jump Shot, you know, those kind of things don't happen today. And I'm always so taken back, you know, when you know, I look at this thing, man, you know, the legendary Doc Stanley that you put there and my man who had it on his show last week, Bobby C., you know, it's Mary Boykin says something, you know, you feel good when the people that you respect and admire you. And, you know, it means so much. You know, you, the plug you put on, the, you know, you're always a legend. It just means a lot, you know, because I remember in the Wild Bunch, it says, you know, it's who you give your word to. I mean, your word's your word, no matter who you give it to. And I just can't really, you know, just putting the words, what it is, you know, to do this. I'm just, you know, here it's you're in another world. You're like a heaven on earth. You know, you and Jump Shot, Dusty, we miss so immensely. Mel, Lady A joins us here, too. We also immensely miss Sea Wings. But it's just, I felt it tonight, as I always do, the joy, the glee, the gratitude to God as I'm putting this show together, man, knowing I'm going to talk to Jump Shot. I'm going to talk to G-Dub, you know, Lou Miller. It just, you know, and his family. It's the family that God gave you. You know, they say blood makes your relatives. Loyalty makes your family, man. And that's always, you know, just so special, man. You know, sitting here talking to y'all and just having a great time with the greatest of people. With the greatest of people, man. The Astros, you know, I wanted to see San Diego more than I wanted to see. What is that? You call that Birmingham East? Is what they call Philadelphia?
Yeah, North. Birmingham North.
Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know why I got the East. You know, and Bryce Harper, who played for Dusty, didn't come through for him when he was with the Washington. But you know, hey, God's in control. God's got a plan. The Astros 4 outs away. Dusty called early. He called me early this morning. He said he was going to have breakfast. I said, Dad, you know what? Maybe I'll have breakfast with him tomorrow. Well, they won't be having breakfast tomorrow. They'll be celebrating in the locker room, and then they'll be going to Houston and getting ready for the World Series. And it'll be back-to-back World Series.
How's that for irony? Well, it's the top of the ninth now. Altuve just got a base hit, so he's on first base. It's 6-5 Houston. And that same Bryce Harper, who was the National League Most Valuable Player for the NLCS, an award, by the way, ironically, that was started and the first recipient of it was Mr. Johnny Dusty Baker.
Really?
In 1981.
Baker, that's another thing. Let me get my pad here, man, because we've got to put this down. The accomplishment of Dusty Baker. Okay, Dusty Baker was the first. What year was that now, Jump Shot?
1981.
He was the National League.
The National League. National League Championship Series Most Valuable Player.
What, the 1981 National League what?
Yeah, National League Championship Series Most Valuable Player.
Okay. Championship MVP.
National League.
Okay, now we also add that he was on deck when Hank hit 715.
According to Wikipedia, presented in the National League, NL, since 1977, and in the American League, L, since 1980. Dusty Baker won the inaugural award in 1977 with the Los Angeles Dodgers, and Frank White won the first Al award in 1980 with the Kansas City.
Okay, I got the year wrong, Doc. I'm sorry. It was 1970. I thought it was 1981, but it was actually 1977. And,
okay, doesn't matter. He won it in 77 from the NL, and Frank White won it for the AL.
Correct.
And we got to add to that. Dusty started
the
high five. The
Yankees are connected to both of those.
Huh?
The Yankees are connected to both of those because when Dusty helped the Dodgers get into the World Series that year against
right.
the Yankees, it was Mr. October that prevented them from winning that series. Mr. Reginald Martinez Jackson, October 18th, 1977, 45 years ago, where he hit the 3 home runs in the World Series game
against Dusty Baker and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Frank White, who won the award, Most Valuable Player, the first time for an American League team, did it against the Yankees as Goose Gossage gave up that mammoth home run to George Brett in the 1980 World Series, preventing the Yankees from going back to the World Series. And they did
five. Dusty won it in 1977?
Correct.
Okay. So, yo, I that's something to add to my theory why I didn't do it. No, the first National League Championship MVP winner, 1977, brought the high five into baseball with Gene Burke, was the fourth player to make the Dodgers the first team ever to have four guys. I still think the only team with 30 or more home runs was on deck when Hank Aaron hit number 715. First black manager to win 2,000 games. And Dusty also is the first manager in baseball history to win the Manager of the Year award in his first year as a manager. Wow. Let's do it one more time. First manager to win Manager of the Year as a rookie manager, 1977 National League Championship MVP, fourth man to make the Dodgers the first team ever, and I still think the only team ever to have four guys hit 30 more home runs, on deck when Hank hit 715. We talked about this. Okay. Did I get that? Okay. Let me just get it and make sure I got it right. 1977 Championship MVP, first man to win Manager of the Year award as a rookie manager.
And Doc.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, when he won that award in 1977,
yeah,
as the first National League, as the first recipient of the National League Championship Most Valuable Player, if I'm not mistaken, it was against the team that he's probably going to play, not probably, that he will play in the World Series once they win this game, which will be
the Phillies.
Philadelphia Phillies. Correct.
Yeah.
There's a 77 Phillies, but it's the Philadelphia Phillies.
Okay, you know what? Let's get this down so we have it. The five things with Dusty, because I got to get that to him now. He'll probably want to. Okay, the 1977 National League Championship. He didn't talk about that, too. Series.
He's got his closer in, Doc. Presley. His closer's in. He just got the first out. They're two outs away.
Okay, 1977 champion, the first rookie MGR to win MGR of the year, on deck when Hank hit it, brought in the high five. I'm missing something else now. And the first black manager to win 2,000 games. And now he'll be one of the few, he'll be the second black manager to go to the World Series back-to-back. Tito Gasser was the first. Okay, we got you here live. We're not going to leave. I have to get on the phone to Dusty. I'll make the call here with everybody here listening. The Astros trailing this game big, but now, in fact, we can put it in our thing here, too. That will be our update. So we're going to have Astros, Jets, Giants win as we're here still live.
This will be the third team in the same year. It's on the brink. The Astros are 6-0, being the third team in Major League history to sweep the division series and the league championship series in the same season. The Colorado Rockies did it in 2007. The Kansas City Royals did it in 2014. The Astros are 6-0. They're two outs away from being the third team in Major League Baseball history to have swept the division series and the league championship series.
And here's the thing about that first game, Alvarez, who's been silent, hit the home run. Two runs down while you're pitching to him. And then, like I said, They won that third game against Seattle in Seattle in 18 innings. So all intents and purposes, that was two games. So, you know, that's four games.
How about that?
They win the first two at home. And, you know, some people think that 2-3-2 format is a disadvantage because now, you know, I got the home team advantage, but now I got to go play three games in their yard, you know. But Jesse Barfield, the only man, black player, to lead the league in home runs for a foreign team, that was the Toronto Blue Jays, always said, you know, when you go on the road, you're more focused because now you ain't got to get tickets for the wife and the kids. I ain't got to worry about dad and my mom's and them coming. So me, you know, we're having dinner. Me and Fuzzy, we're going to have dinner. Other guys are going to move. There's a unity, okay? And also, we're more focused now because, you know, I got to worry about the leave them tickets for daddy. You know what I mean? Dad, did he pick mommy up? You know, you worry about the wife kids because, you know what, you ain't got to worry about it. They ain't there. You know, if they is coming, you know, they're flying in at a certain time. They're taken care of. Wow. Astros, back in the World Series, it seems like it'll be the fourth time in 6 years that they've been in the AL Championship Game Series. It'll be the fourth time in the World Series. You know, McCullough didn't pitch that bad. You get a chance to see Jason Verlander back. They have a tremendous pitching staff. They have a tremendous bullpen. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. Bring it to you live.
Aaron Judge is up, 143 batting average in the 2022 postseason after historic regular season. He is up. He just swung and missed at the first pitch. He's down 0-1. Now, if Aaron can
get a we're not leaving jump shot till you give it to us, baby. We're not leaving. Doc Stanley Sports and Death, here we are. The closing minutes of the Astros going to the World Series again. Dusty Baker now, third time in the World Series, back-to-back. Hey, as the Isaac brother said, they got work to do, and they're ready to do it.
That's right. Teaneck natives. Well, Aaron Judge is down 0-2. He's 0-2. And Bryce Harper will see Dusty again next week, unless Aaron Judge can park one and extend this game. Dusty's on the mound. Outside, one ball, two strikes.
Okay. They've got the guy that can do it. Well, they got him and the guy behind him. So if he don't do it, there's still a shot that the guy behind him could do it too.
Right. One ball, two strikes. Presley's at the stretch, and here comes the pitch. Get it right back to the mound. Houston's going to the World Series. It's over.
He was the final out?
Yep. Aaron Judge couldn't get it done. Houston is going to the World Series. They sweep the Yankees, the Mariners. They advance to the World Series against the Philadelphia Phillies, a team that Dusty Baker won the National League Championship, was the first recipient of the National League Championship Series MVP. Ironically, one of his former players, Bryce Harper, who became the National League Championship MVP, they'll be facing each other next week. He'll be going back to Philadelphia as the Houston Astros manager and an attempt to become the second black manager to win a World Series.
Hold on.
Go, Dusty.
Hold on.
Is full and cannot accept new messages at this time. Please try again later.
His box is full. The messages are already there. People felt they beat me to it. They felt Dusty was going to do it. So I'm going to text him. Okay. Can't leave him a message. Love you, baby. Love you.
Congrats. So tell him the Sports in Depth crew. Congratulations.
Hold on. Yeah.
Nothing but the best.
Yeah. Love you. God bless you.
You can't get him now, Doc. He's celebrating. He's jumping up and down on the field.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, I was going to leave a message. You know, love you. Okay. Astros, they did it. They did it. Swept the Yankees. Swept the
Yeah, there he is there. Johnny Baker, Jr., number 12. Good for him.
Where's number 12? Because
give
it was
us
his
a
idol.
They said, give us an opportunity. All we wanted all this time is an opportunity. That's all we've wanted from the very beginning.
All.
Opportunity. You know? You know, they did it against the Yankees, but I'm good for them.
And they did it on the road in hostile territory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, who's cheating now? And, you know, you couldn't have it more apropos that Aaron Judge, the home run king of the American League, the home run king of baseball, the most home runs hit in a single season in the American League, was a guy to come to the plate. The guy who's MVP of the American League. You know, you couldn't ask for any more. You know, Judge was the guy. You know, it'd been interesting had he did it, but he didn't. Dr. Andy Sports on the Block Talk Radio on Trust and Guard Radio Network. It's the end of the show. Jump Shot, some closing thoughts.
Well, my closing thoughts are congratulations to both the city of Philadelphia, the city of Houston. Congratulations to Dusty Baker. I think it's just so apropos that not only did he win, he's going back to a city. Yes, I did refer to them as Birmingham North. And I'm rooting for Dusty Baker to make this happen. No disrespect to Philadelphia. But, you know, he's putting on his shirt now. And as we said earlier, we just want a shot. Just give us an opportunity. Why do we have to be denied an opportunity because of the color of our skin? Why? When we get a shot like everybody else, we can excel like everybody else. Kudos to Dusty Baker. Thank you, Jackie Robinson.
All praise and honor to Father God and the Savior Jesus. Well, Dusty, back-to-back World Series now will be his third one. One of the few managers to go back-to-back in the World Series. Won 100 games this year. Unequivocally, the manager of the year. You know, Jose Altuve, he said one of his favorite players, along with Ellis Burks. I forgot who the third one was. But we're ending the show by saying happy birthday to Pelé and congratulations to my longtime friend, hero, role model, and brother, Dusty Baker. Jump Shot, I love you, baby. We'll talk soon. Yeah. We're going to close out.
Yeah. Give us a shot. We just want to listen. Let this be a lesson, Major League Baseball. Give us a shot. Managerial, general manager, owner, and even player. Give us a shot. Stop closing the door. Open the door.
And as Arthur asked you to say, we always had to be twice as good to get half a chance. Dusty Baker, back in the World Series. You know, Astros, Giants, you know what? Later for Astros is Astros. No, we're gonna do happy birthday. We're gonna do happy birthday, Pelé. Congrats, Dusty. That's our opening line here for now on this show. Okay? And we're gonna close out with that too. Hey, Jump Shot, talk to you tomorrow, baby.
All right. Thanks for everything, Doc. Appreciate you.
You got any closing thoughts though? Well, you gave them to us. Love you, baby. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you.
Home to you and I and my heart keeps running when I think of things you do. And I won't be running, and no one else, no one. They all see me running and say that's love for sure. And I'm not hesitating, no. As soon as work is done, fast as my leg can carry me, yeah. Life ain't complicated, oh no, you've got only one, one heart, one joy, one place to be. Now I'm watching people running all around, chasing after things that'll just run them down. Life is so much better if they change their ways. I wish I could tell them, but you know I can't stay. Cause I gotta get running and get home to you.
Gotta get home,
and my heart keeps running when I think of things you do.
Think about the things.
And I won't be running. There's no one else, no one no more.
Just look up.
A Rádio Pajeú é o mundo todo. Fala, Stanley, direto dos Estados Unidos.
Meu nome é Doug Stanley.
Meu nome é Doug Stanley.
E eu moro em Nova York.
Eu moro em Nova York.
Nos Estados Unidos.
Nos Estados Unidos.
E estou ouvindo Radio Web Pajeú.
Estou ouvindo a Rádio Web Pajeú.
Um abraço.
Um abraço.
Hugs. God bless you.
Deus abençoe você.
Eita, menino, quer dizer que agora é internacional, é?
Yes. Ué.
Oh,
I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
ID. Death. Elvin Doc Stanley, DM, BW, Upshot Jonesy, and live from Fortaleza, Brazil, Sir Peter McLean. SID is an in-depth, informative, educational, and historical look for the sports on this his renowned, legendary, award-winning radio show, Sports in Depth, which diverges from both a daily perspective, bringing both an in-depth look and perspective not only on the sports of our times, but with the players, performers, that have events both now and of yesteryear. SID also brings us a unique strategy to sports from an intellectual perspective. Not just athletics, because as it takes raw, God-given talent and conditioning, it takes a God-blessed mind fueled with passion, determination, intellect, and a belief competing competition. With the in-depth knowledge and diverse intellect of Doc's iconic posse, Sports in Depth is too often the world in depth. We dedicate this show and say happy birthday, Feliz Aniversario, in his language, to my good buddy and the greatest football player ever, real football, Edson Arantos de Nascimento, better known as Pelé. God bless you, the king, Arias, et todo sempre, amor. Love you, my brother, and forever. We say congrats to my dear friend, brother, Dusty Baker and his Astros. Congratulations. They're off to the World Series once again. Thanks for joining us where we always rope the rumors, hog tie and last of issues, bearing the truth. Ain't nothing really amazing about what you do or say, as everything you do is simply by the grace of God amazing. Let us forget, it's just simply to remember. They are saying that the people they knowingly and wrongfully let loose are and was the problem, as opposed to them both creating, fueling, being both the cause and the real problem. Accidentally, words of wit, wisdom, and wisdom. And abide my heart, God bless you all and always. Trust in God. Doc Stanley, Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio. Trust in God Radio Network. Houston Astros are off to the World Series. And the Jets and Giants had another winning Sunday in New York City. And with that, Larry Hardesty again will close us out. Come on, Larry.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding. But I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Yes, I know all there is to ever know, where you've been and where you'll ever go, all your mistakes from yesterday, and the ones you'll make tomorrow. You've been trying so hard to comprehend what kind of love could cover all that sin. Just know there's nothing you could ever do that would ever, ever, ever change my love for you. Don't ask me why. Don't wonder how. Don't bother asking. Someone like you, it's 'cause you're mine, it's 'cause you're you, it's 'cause I'm loved, what I do. What I